And welcome to In-Game Chat for Thursday, April 7th, 2011. It is the Fist Everything episode. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Matt.
I'm RJ.
I'm Dennis.
It's a full house tonight. We're going to get into the tweets, emails, and voicemails. But before we do that, we're going to have a conversation about PC building, because Iron Past is building his PC throughout this entire episode. And you will hear updates on how well that is going as we go along through the show. The PC building leads to upcoming PC releases and where the PC game market is. We go over Crysis 2 information, also Hawken. Assassin's Creed gets a lot of discussion tonight from emails and from tweets, so glad to see you guys are in that brotherhood as well. We do go into some spoiler territory on 2, but we do give you a fair warning on that. L.A. Noire, Mass Effect 2 DLC. GameStop is covered quite a bit here as we go into what they're doing, buying Impulse, among other things. Also, console MMOs, the Nintendo 3DS. None of us get to try it out. We get a look at some of it from Matt, and Dennis will have more to say on it probably by the next time we have an episode, because he has one by association. It's not technically his. But also, Dragon Age 2 is discussed, the anonymous attack on Sony. Also, Spiral Knights, StarCraft 2 with commentary, DLC and how much it costs. We Dare is brought back up as well. EVE Online, 3D gaming, and game trailers. We have a great discussion on game trailers as well. PlayStation Move and Kinect, Infamous 2, and much more in this episode. If you want to contribute, you can. All you have to do is go to Twitter. We're there at In-Game Chat. Also, you can email us, everyone at ingamechat.net, and you can call us at 201-7-IN-GAME. 201-7-IN-GAME. We did not have a Kevin's Corner this episode. Hopefully, he'll call us and give us one.
And really, it can be anybody's corner.
It could be, yeah. I don't give it out because I want Kevin to remember. I give it out so you guys can call. But 201-7-IN-GAME. Also, don't forget to check us out at the Colony of Gamers forums as well. That's where we post the show posts, and you can have discussions there, as well as ingamechat.net. So there you go. Enjoy the show.
It's being a shit, isn't it?
It really is.
Do you have any trouble?
With internet?
Yeah.
It's a little slow.
Yeah.
Being a bit of shit
here.
See. Yin Yang, Evil Ryu, and Oni?
Mm-hmm. Probably an updated Akuma or something.
Yeah.
Hey, can we go ahead and set aside... do we need to download and look at any videos so we can go ahead and get that shit started?
That's what I was pulling this up for, because it's coming up in a tweet and I wanted you to see it. Since you had just put a box to Iron Past.
Oh, is that his build?
He's putting it together tonight.
That's cool.
I'm trying to get the Infamous 2 trailer.
Don't bother.
Oh.
It's unimpressive.
Oh, that's kind of let down.
It's actually could be said to be slightly disappointing.
Hmm.
Apparently he's showing off his build as he goes.
Because, you know, one of the emails was about trailers, like, you know, have you?
Yeah. That's what.
Got the fan attached.
All right, so that's Iron Past's build?
Yeah.
Is he scratch building? Or is he upgrading?
He's scratch building. Well,
he's got a new case.
Yeah, okay. From the looks, yeah, he's scratch building.
What case is that?
I'm not sure.
Is that the...
He's still around.
I'm not sure. Is that the 300?
Doesn't look like it. Doesn't even look like it's an Antec.
I don't know. My Antec is 12 years old.
He may have sent us an email.
Is that his... I'm sorry, did I read that correctly? It's his first build?
I guess so. My first build.
I didn't know that was your first build.
There's your...
His voice is terrible. We've been over that, yeah.
There's your case.
Okay.
That looks...
That's fine.
Brand X.
Now go back to the other... Well, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'd like to see what the layout is.
There's the motherboard.
If it's it's the Asus.
He's putting the Green Lantern in his
box.
Oh,
he got the H.
Oh, yeah.
He got an H.
The reason we're interested in this, by the way, right now is because these two guys, James and Jeremy,
I just upgraded my core, and Jeremy will be building another soon. But in the meantime, since he's waiting on the next release of AMD architecture,
I'm waiting to see what Bulldozer does before,
right.
And waiting for the Sandy Bridge chipsets to kind of
settle
down.
Bit.
Before I decide what I'm going to get.
So I handed him over my old core and my old video card because, you know, in times past, anybody here, and I'm sure anybody listening knows that if you're a PC builder and you build like every 3 years because you're trying to stay near the top, you know, you replace a core, you know, motherboard, processor, and RAM, and maybe you've got a not too old video card sitting around. Inevitably, your mind turns to the fact that, you know, I'm 80% of the way to a new PC, a second PC. So I'll just get another, you know, let's throw another old optical drive in there, grab another hard drive for cheap, and maybe find a crap case, or you've got an old leftover case, or somebody can give you one, and all of a sudden you got two PCs. Next thing you know, your house is full of old fucking PCs.
Yes.
Frankly, I don't need that. I don't need that shit anymore. So I didn't want to have anything to do with it necessarily. So Jeremy's got all my old bits for now. I may HTPC it when I get it back. You know, I may.
Speaking of which, my in-laws' case came in. I haven't unboxed it yet, but I've stuck it in the car, so okay. I can bring it up here and show you guys.
The weird little sideboard wooden case thing. That thing's a little creepy, dude.
I can't wait to see how it actually looks.
It reminds me of the old cabinet televisions.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it does.
We're going to hide your electronics. Radio. Yeah, we're going to hide your electronics behind wood fascia and stuff. I used to envy people that had cabinet TVs.
Yeah.
You know, they're big.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have one.
I have a old just box, you know, in the case now. I mean, it's still the computers and everything's in it, but it's like back from 2004 was when I built it. And so I'm just like, yeah, I can probably like salvage the case itself, but everything else.
I'm still using the case that I bought back when you had your P3.
Oh, jeez.
I still have the case I had from that I built when we were at Blackwood.
Yeah.
It's like 13 years old, 12 years old.
Yeah, as long as you got the as long as the form factor and stuff you can put in it.
I have no idea where the sides are or the front bezel.
You've lost that thing how long ago?
I have no idea where they are anymore. It's just an open case.
Yeah.
Well, it was open case. You had like Dr. Pepper spill.
Yes, yes. And then a few years back, I took everything out and washed it out as much as possible and got it. Got the chassis ready to hang new bits on it. Speaking of which, what? Dr. Pepper?
When I pulled the P4 bits out of my case, the Sound Blaster Live Gold that was in there was the last remaining
hand-me-down from that old
that had Dr. Pepper bits still dry.
Right,
on
that would have had a lot on it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It was a hell of a thing. But parts run good with Dr. Pepper on it.
I'm thinking eventually I'd like to actually build another, you know, desktop.
A proper tower, yeah.
And, you know, and do a tower, but, you know.
Well, let me say.
I'll have to get everything again. I mean,
yeah, that's fine. I mean, it's, the numbers work out the same, in my opinion. I don't know. Did he say anything about what he spent?
$1,000.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. That's exactly what I was going to say. $1,000. You've set aside $1,000, and you can build yourself a quality-ass PC.
Yeah.
That includes the, That includes the OS. That does not. I don't think that includes a monitor, though.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
I've asked him to give us some
details. Itemization.
Yeah.
I was running, just to frame the conversation. 4 years ago, I guess I built a Core 2 Duo E8400 at 3. I overclocked to 3.6. 4 gigs of RAM, Vista 64-bit, a hard drive. And I had a 4850, Radeon 4850. And then a year ago, I went up to the 5850, but I only saw, like, marginal improvement in anything because I was, you know, processor was my bottleneck.
Yeah.
So I just, being now, what, two... a dual core and fully two generations of hardware behind, I decided to go ahead and move up. I don't have i7 money.
Oh, wow. That also includes a Blu-ray drive.
Oh, that's good.
All
right. Nice.
$1,000, yeah.
What kind of card did he get?
Just a drive or burner?
I don't know. But that says Blu-ray on the front. Is that an Asus? Is that his card there?
Because I bought a burner. I think it was last time I bought a burner was 120, 130, around that area.
No, that's his card. That's the 560.
Blu-ray burner.
That's the power supply,
I guess.
No, no, the card. The five. The thing
that
says five.
That's the card. Okay.
God, Matt. I mean, Scott.
Hey.
The 560. It's the NVIDIA. It's the NVIDIA price performance owner.
Where right is now. His power supply?
It may have come with the case.
May be in the case. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But I. Yeah, I bought the i5, the 2500K. The K-Series stuff is overclockable. I bought an MSI board. Motherboard's the first time I've ever gone with MSI. But I'm perfectly happy with them. Got me some G-Skill rip jaws, you know, whatever.
Is the price still down on the RAM right now?
I mean, it's like $50 for a 4-gig rip jaws kit. It's fine. I mean, the build was... Let me tell you, having done this long enough, builds have never been, I mean, they've been fun in a bit of a, you know, a tweak or tuner kind of way. It's certainly fun. But there's a level of anxiety that's always present, you know, throughout the entire build, all the way down to the point of pressing the power button, all the way through the OS install, all the way through your, you know, 48 hours of mem test and just everything. It's days and days and days and days till it shakes out to the point where you're really comfortable taking it for a spin, you know?
Yeah, his tweet from an hour ago was getting there. Locking in the CPU is scary.
It is, but see, yeah. No, that's a very good point. It is far less scary, in my opinion, than it used to be. I know this varies manufacturer to manufacturer, but the lock plate on my motherboard was so much less dramatic than I've ever had before. It was actually a double hinged lockdown kind of thing, so it flops down and it's up like this and then pins underneath an anchor screw on the board, and then instead of pressing straight down and locking, it sort of wedges in and does this, like a third the pressure I've ever had to put down on anything. First time I've ever seated RAM and not felt like I was going to break my board's back.
Yeah.
Everything was the level of manufacturing. And like I said, I'm running an MSI board, one of the mid-range models. I'm a single card solution kind of guy, single GPU guy, so I don't plan to SLI or Crossfire.
Yeah, I think there's this power supply in the case.
But yeah, it was the least painful or dramatic build I've ever done.
Yeah.
And Windows 7 is such an asshole for I am totally prepared to manhandle the install. And it, what, 12 minutes? 10 minutes? From the time that I first boot the system to the time I'm actually downloading drivers? 10 minutes?
Yeah.
With XP, it was 40 an hour?
It was a long time.
It was so slick, so clean, on top of an equally slick and clean hardware installation. The entire mount, there were some issues, which had nothing to do with nothing. It took me a couple days to get on my feet because my software configurations were not right. But as far as putting the hardware together and getting Windows on it, and I'm just saying, I don't know if you can hear us, ninite.com.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love these guys. Have you ever been there?
They're awesome.
It's this website that basically all they have is free. It's a conglomerate of free utilities that are available on the web. Stuff that you would find interesting, like
Chrome, Firefox,
all the browsers,
VLC,
7-Zip,
AVG,
AVG, like antivirus stuff, like just all this.
Burning
all
software, compression utilities, a bunch of shit that you probably already use. Google Maps, Google Earth.
Anything that you would ever
need to install.
Use as a free type of app. And they're always taking suggestions, and the profile of the library is always getting bigger. So what you do is you just go down their page and you click, I want this, 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 and oh, I use this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And then it's like, okay, get the installer. You click it, you get this tiny little few hundred K installer. And then it slipstream installs by downloading through the web every single.
You don't have to uncheck all the bullshit stuff that comes bundled with it. It takes all that out itself. You don't have to say yes, this directory, yes, this thing. Basically, you run the installer and it does everything for you. What used to take you like an hour or two to download all your shit and set up takes like literally 10 minutes.
Yeah, or several days if you ever forget, oh crap, I forgot to get 7-zip or... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, the 30th time that you said, no, I don't want Yahoo toolbar,
you don't have to run any of the installers. It does everything by itself in the background cleanly and very fucking fast because the installers themselves have stripped out all the garbage. For setting up a new PC, either as an individual or as IT people like we are, it is beautiful.
What's the site again?
It's called Ninite, N-I-N-I-T-E. It is the sex.
Yeah.
For getting all basic freeware utilities set up and running on a fresh install. I mean, seriously, like a Windows 7 installation plus Ninite plus, you know, the foreknowledge of having gone ahead and put your video card drivers on a zip disk. Why do I say that? Why, how old am I?
Same reason why I still say Netscape.
Yeah. And literally, I plugged my shit in, an hour later, I was... like ready to play a game.
It's great. And it'll take all of this. You know, Flash, Java, Air, .NET.
Yeah, Silverlight, everything.
Has this been around a pretty long time?
No. It's within the past calendar year.
Yeah. I was about to say, I wish I could have had this when I was building mine.
Well, all right, I got a question for you guys. Has there been a game that you've wanted to upgrade your system just to play?
All right.
Like, well, you know, like the really high-end game that you're just like, I want to get a new system for this.
Well, how far back do you want to go?
How many times have you done this?
Do you not remember the fact that I wanted to buy a plane ticket and fly to wherever the assholes who made Jane's USAF were and kick them in the taint for putting a slider in their game that was grayed out unless they had a Pentium 3? I go from zero to fury. when there's a something in a game menu that's fuck you, pal. I know what you're running, and you can't click this box. I get, you know, tears of blood. I get really, really fucking angry. But beyond that, I have a super, super bad problem with things that don't run well enough. I take it as a bit of a personal affront. When I install a game, everything goes to max. Very high, ultra, maximum, here, there be monsters. Whatever the hell the setting is called, it goes all the way to that spot. And if I can't run it at like 45 frames per second, I start to... a chip develops on my shoulder. Like I honest to God, have a real problem with it, and I don't like it. Seriously, and that's the moment when I start thinking about upgrading. I am not the kind of person who's super comfortable drawing down all of my stuff and then being happy with it. If I can somehow blame it on the game's engine, like poorly optimized code, and it's like, well, okay, you know, super sampling in Rift, for example, is just an asshole. Because that was one of the things I did when I upgraded. I went into Rift, turned everything just all the way to maximum, because that was one of the reasons I couldn't play it. I was angry that no matter what I did, I was getting about 30 frames per second.
Yeah.
And I can't tolerate that on a PC game, in an MMO in particular. So I went back in, it turned everything as high up as it would possibly go. And it was brilliant, 60, 80 frames per second, except for super sampling.
Hmm.
That would knock it down to about 35 or 40, which kind of pissed me off a little bit, but that's it's using the Oblivion engine. So
yeah.
We all know how well that thing's built.
Yeah.
But yes, there have been times when I just can't. Dude, I've bought consoles for single games. Of course I'm going to want to upgrade my PC for the same thing.
I know a couple years back, you know, like Crysis was the big one. People would upgrade their system just to play. Or, you know, there's been, you know, games like
that. Except for the fact that even a well-upgraded system at the time
was still kind of choking on it.
That thing was designed with the future in mind.
Yeah.
But not in the best possible way. It still had really low-res textures. Like, the texture packs still weren't that good. It was the kind of game that needed stuff that wouldn't exist for a couple of years to be run perfectly.
I remember the original Unreal Tournament. It actually had a second CD of just high-res textures for in the future.
Nothing wrong with that. I missed that shit.
Yeah, that was actually a pretty damn good idea. But one of the main reasons why I'm thinking about upgrading my system once I have money and everything is because for that A10 simulator that I'm really excited about.
It's either that or the HOTAS.
Oh my gosh. I showed you the picture of that.
You did show me the picture of that, and I said, what else would you use this for?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess any flight sim.
It looks cool.
You can use it for any flight sim. It's a $500 A-10 joystick licensed by the Air Force. That's the picture of it right there. Shit's sweet. Over like 51.
The Air Force logo costs a lot, doesn't it?
It really does. Over like 51 buttons on the stick and, you know, on the throttle and everything.
Now, you you should. It's a decent time. The Sandy Bridge stuff is good, squared away. I think they've really done a good job with their branding. Their last generation of stuff and the chip branding, it was a mess. It was a goddamn nightmare because it had the i3, the i5, the i7 branding spread across two different socket architectures, and it wasn't really brilliant.
Yeah.
Now things have become a little more simple, and the i7, you know, the K processors are the ones that are overclockable. The i7's like big money, like $500. The i5 is like reasonable money, like $220, which that's what I got. And my board was $140, you know, and my RAM was piss.
Yeah,
you know, like $50 for 4 gigs.
Wow.
I'm gonna throw another $50 now at another kit. I just wanted to go with one kit to make sure that the build was stable and everything. But it's a really good time to build. But just like, you know, his price point is exactly where it's at. If you're starting from scratch, it's $1,000, and it's been $1,000 for a while. But it kind of still buys you the same relative performance versus what's happening on the PC. And so
I might be able to salvage some of my old hard drives because they are, you know, eSATA. So that, you know, that in the case would be the only two real things I'd be able to salvage because the RAM's old.
You shouldn't even bring it up. Don't
Bring it up. Just have to gut that thing and start over.
You know, that sidesteps into an interesting conversation. I don't know if you guys picked up on the. On the little slightly out of character. And I don't know, what kind of hard drive did he get? Did he spring for a solid state? Probably not with a $1,000 budget.
I haven't heard back from him.
Those are $500?
Right? Well, no, here's the real conversation. There was a really good, slightly out of character editorial on RPS 4 or 5 days ago about solid state drives.
Okay.
Where they were talking about, in our opinion, this is probably the single greatest thing you can buy for your PC.
Yeah.
And
I saw that. I
have
headline.
To say, in a purely theoretical context, I agree. Maybe I'd be willing to discuss the matter, but as a guy who has to spend money and buy stuff, I can't buy into that. These things are still they're viciously fast. I mean, they're fucking cat-like.
Yeah.
You can. It changes how your computer actually works. You can get rid of your page file.
Really?
Well, they all need a page file with the read times of a solid state drive. And they have their own problems. They have a lot of the real insecure technology. I mean that both metaphorically and literally. You can't do any. It's extremely hard to do secure delete on them because of how they handle their information. They're the only really, unlike a platter, you know, a magnetic platter drive, the only way to really be sure the data's gone is to smash it with a fucking hammer.
Yeah.
And at the cost, the dollar per gigabyte, it's gross. The affordable range right now is, what were we looking at, 128 gig drives or 120 gig drives for like $200?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. To get up into the... what was it that one of the other RPS editors chimed in and said he built a system around whatever it was, and it was those OCZ 320 gig PCI Express the Express Lane drives, $1,100.
Ouch.
$1,100, and that's a performance solid state drive.
Yeah.
320 gigs, but for Christ's sake, what can you get a 7200 RPM 2 terabyte drive for?
Like under
$100. That's insane. It's simply not. And I understand. I had Windows rate my system, and everything in my system rated a 7.8 or a 7.9, except for my hard drive, which rated a 5.9. I get it. But at those prices, for that amount of
small
storage,
yeah. unless you know that'll be just your, you know, your primary partition for your hard drive. Yeah, I mean, for your operating system, and then have everything else on like a secondary.
But still, the point is still loading your data into RAM from a slow drive. So, as it is, the rest of my system is the speed is significant, and I haven't done any overclocking yet, none whatsoever. I'm sitting at the stock 3.3. And my system is significant. I am very happy with access times and read times, everything. It's quite good. I would like a solid state drive, but my own opinion is if you're building within the next year,
wait.
Forget about it. Just let the prices do
eventually,
something.
The prices will come down. They'll be able to, you know, have more.
I'll buy it when it's like terrestrial, you know, when it's like Earth prices.
Yeah.
As it is now, it's. But whatever, you know, if you got money for an i7, then if you got i7 money, then maybe you got solid state drive money. I don't know.
True.
I'm certainly not shitting on the idea.
No.
Just that you should prioritize it at all at this point, I think, is a little bit strange. But I don't know, I always get really energized when it's build time. I get really happy about it.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if it's.
It's been a while for, you know.
Yeah.
For a lot of us, I'm sure, for build time. You know, it's.
I wish everybody could get back to it, because we're kind of back at you guys in particular. I know, but I'm just saying I wish you could, because it'd be very easy to create a critical mass of PC stuff. And then I can warn you, dear listener, that things will undoubtedly be shifting more towards the PC end of the spectrum for the foreseeable future. With four people at this table having gaming PCs now.
Yeah.
That's a thing. And the outlook for releases this year being
decent,
considerable. Yeah. I mean, what do we got right around the corner? We got Portal 2.
Yes,
not an exclusive, but
not next week.
If you're to be taken seriously, you're playing it on the PC.
Yes.
Witcher 2.
Yeah, that's in May.
Witcher 2's in May. What else is on the same day as FN Witcher? Something a Brink.
Brink.
Same day as Witcher. Yeah, that's not inconvenient.
that's one I wanted to look up. I wanted to look up Brink to see.
You should look it up.
Yeah.
You know, class based, shooty shoots.
I'm done with that.
Yeah. Pew pew. It looks a little. Not quite, right? Has everybody watched the videos? Looks a little.
I haven't yet. That's one, yeah.
It's got a little bit of a thing going on to it. I don't know. Optimistic.
I'm eternally optimistic.
Have a really quality team based shooter.
Yeah.
That's what they sold it as when I saw it at E3 last year or a year before last, actually.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's what I do.
Been in development for a while.
Yeah, well, but that's okay, because what I do know is that in many of the conversations about it, people will say, it looks awkward.
Yeah.
It doesn't, from the videos, it doesn't seem punchy. The animations look very strange. And when you're watching a video passively, it's not an unfair complaint. But from the people who say that they've stood in line at PAX to play it and have actually had hands-on, I haven't heard a whole lot negative. Everybody seems really excited about it who has had the opportunity to actually play it. That carries weight, even from random internet guy, to some degree. As long as it's not on random internet site.
Yeah.
You know?
And, I mean, I know another game I want to play on the PC would be Duke Forever. Just because, you know, that's how I played, you know, Duke 3D back in the day. Yeah, I'll give that one a shot.
Okay.
You're not interested at all?
Of course I'm interested. It's a foregone conclusion. That is now June, though. June what?
Shit.
June something, yeah. Right? Yeah. Not June the
14th? No. Which one is
17th?
Well, what the shit? That's where Dungeon Siege went.
Yeah, that's right. Dungeon Siege.
No, the 21st. Dungeon Siege went to the 21st.
Okay,
Dungeon
a week Siege later.
What?
Yeah.
Really? I'm not going to have any more money a week later.
No, I wouldn't say that as a positive. I'm just like, oh yeah, a week later. That helps.
Yeah. But I'm into that, right? Have we seen a feature list of Dungeon Siege?
I haven't been.
Is it going to have the, you know, the thing we like to do together?
I haven't checked. I haven't been interested.
Yeah, okay. June 14th for Duke.
14th, okay. Well, whatever. And that's to say nothing, of course, of the back half of the year.
Oh, God.
With
Skyrim's the biggest one I'm looking forward to.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I've been playing Elder Scrolls. You know, I missed Arena, but ever since, you know, Daggerfall. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one.
But Battlefield's this year.
Yeah.
Well, then you're a bad person.
I'm going to get it.
Your priorities are askew, my friend.
I'm going to get it.
Does not show proper respect to Battlefield.
No. I'll wait a little bit closer to get more excited about it.
Very well.
I'm sure I will.
I'm not playing with you.
His core is an i5.
His core is an i5?
His core is an i5, yeah. Okay.
Scott's playing Let's Enhance.
I know. God, that looks like a 2500?
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah, I'm trying really hard to see that, but yeah.
It's okay. I'm going to infer, and I will also be right.
As for his hard drive, I'm shit out of luck on that one.
It's fine. I was just curious. It's a good... I hadn't looked at or seen his stuff, but I mean, that's really good. I went...
This is his case.
Yeah, the Sonata.
Yeah.
Pulled up Dungeon Siege 3. It's saying here, multiplayer up to 4 players online, 1 for each class.
That's an interesting...
With
yeah.
Ease.
That's an idea.
Well, if that
I've never played a Dungeon Siege game. I don't know.
Oh, well, it's... But, I mean, it's fun.
Neither have I.
You click. Right?
I've never played Dungeon
Siege. I'm good at that. I could do
No, but
quicker.
It's fun. I mean, that's... You go like this. I mean...
Yeah. I can do that.
There's a game or two that I could mention who have risen to unrivaled success.
Well, then I'm
based
in.
Based on that formula.
Here we go.
Now, see, the difference is the H67 has onboard video. The P's are the overclockers. And what were the Z's?
Well, the Z's aren't out yet.
But I mean,
yeah, those are
the ones
you're
going to have both.
Both, yeah.
H67, yep. GTX 560, which is like your $250 price performance, dude. On the NVIDIA side.
One terabyte Western
Digital Black. Samsung Blu-ray drive, 8 gig RAM.
8 gig of RAM, nice.
Whatever, it's pennies.
No, that's fine. Yeah, no, that's great. I'm glad he did it.
Super smart. That's like I said, I want to do 8. I just did 4 to make sure my build was stable and everything. And whatever. Probably could have gone with the 2x4.
Are you starting to feel like your bar isn't all the way full now, Scott?
Yeah. If I did it right...
You're fine.
Yeah, I know. If I did it right, it should lean toward the high end of mid-range, but it's my first build, and I just went with my gut.
Here's the thing. Your gut did a good job.
Really? Yeah.
Not only... You're theoretically on the high end of mid-range. Effectively...
He's going to murder us when we leave.
Who was that?
I don't know. Some bald dude.
Okay. Whatever, we're in the studio. Probably somebody may have been one of the security guys. I don't know. Here's the thing. To go from where you are to the proper high end would require an astonishing amount of money. I don't really consider, in an effective sense, I don't consider a 2500, an i5-2500, and a 560. I know it's technically mid-range, but the performance you're going to get out of it is significant because it's going to... There isn't a game out right now that you are not going to be... And within the next year, easily, that you can't run at what I would consider super significant...
Balls-out settings?
Like, balls-out settings with good frame rates. Dismissing, obviously, some poorly optimized code here and there, which is no big deal. But there's nothing you're going to have to suffer through. So the difference between what you have now and what you would have had you, like, increased your expenditures by 50% or doubled them, that difference wouldn't have been enough to justify the money. Those guys are a little more future-proof. It is true, but it's fine. It's fine. It's a good time to build because thanks to our, thanks to the toy boxes, a lot of PC development isn't outstripping them terribly. So they're not going to a place where it's impossible to build a machine to play them. While at the same time, they're becoming a little bit better about the port or about being multi-platform. Crysis 2 is an example, which I'd like to go directly into because, you know, last show we talked about the fact that we played it a little bit. We picked it up for the toy box, played it a little bit. Looked good, but felt a little bit kind of constrained. I could sort of feel it bursting at the seams, kind of floaty and indistinct. And
they were trying a lot for that last
system. It's a lot to put in there, and it's a very pretty game. And I thought that they were doing a good job, and it seemed okay. But it obviously had roots, you know, suit controls and everything in the PC. And so I was like, well, whatever. And I played, I don't know, maybe an hour of it. And I felt maybe like it was fighting me a little bit. But I decided to go ahead after this build and play it on the PC. And damn it, it is really a very, very fun game.
Okay.
It is really a good game. It is not its forebear. It isn't as broad. You know, you don't have quite as many apparent options for how to deal with something. But I'll be damned if a sequel that was designed to work on a console didn't somehow improve on the PC-centric original.
Hmm.
It is better. It plays very cleanly. It's in DirectX 9. Nothing beyond DirectX 9 renders in it. But it looks good. The lighting is very good. The textures are perfectly fine. Runs smooth, like very clean. The guns are nice. The combat is actually tighter and punchier and more satisfying, in my opinion, by far, than the first Crysis. And in that effort to take the suit and how it was controlled and managed in the first game and fit it onto a controller, onto an Xbox 360 controller, they've made it better.
Okay.
Did you play Crysis at all?
Yeah.
Okay. Strength and speed are now on all the time.
Oh, really?
Well, remember how like you would have speed on, right?
Yeah.
And you'd want to sprint and then do like your Superman jump like up a big wall and do like a big high jump. That was next to impossible because you'd have to switch on the fly from speed to strength mode. And this one, you know, you tap the space bar and you get a jump. Do just a little bit of a hold on the space bar, you get a power jump. And it's always on. Your heavy melee attacks for strength are always active.
Well, that's good.
You can hold a key down. You can hold the melee key down and then
do a super attack.
Yeah, it's much more concise and actually makes a hell of a lot more sense that the suit would have as a part of its passive powers speed and strength. And then armor and cloak are
the active.
You choose between them. And they work a little bit differently.
Okay.
Cloak is way more forgiving, actually doesn't use quite as much energy as I said it did last time.
It drained like a son of a bitch in the
first. It's actually not so bad. Recharges much faster. I don't know why I was so hard on it. Maybe it was a little different for the console, I don't know. I didn't tweak any
Could
of those particular
possibly
settings.
Be.
But it shoots well, you know? Everything feels really good. The weapon modification and everything is kind of the same. You can upgrade secondary features of all the components of the suit. Using the little booger fly things that pop off of the aliens when you kill them, like whatever, the nanite things, I don't know, whatever. But it's just good.
Okay.
They have stupidly hidden all of the configurations away from you. There's the video settings in the game are literally gamer, enthusiast, and advanced. That's it. No granularity whatsoever.
Are you able to turn off the suit as far as, like, telling you stealth mode?
I never did, but I will
could
tell you
could that be,
you,
like,
it
an
is,
INI file?
It might be in there. And it isn't. I mean, you can make all the modifications you want
right
in the INI.
Yeah, that's true. So,
and like any good internet, our internet has produced a little launcher that allows you extraordinary granularity in changing the details of it, and it just creates an auto-exec and then modifies the iKnife for you. So, very good, but I tweaked the shit out of it, you know, changed my FOV, got it running the way I want it. No mouse acceleration, no auto-aim. Not really any kind of kludgy artifacting from the controller. A little bit. Before it was patched, a press start to begin kind of thing left in the menu. But for the most part, they made it possible to get all of the things that define a console first-person shooter out of the way. Mouse acceleration gone, swimmy movement gone, auto-aim gone. You can turn it all off. And all of a sudden, it's snappy and it's crisp and it is pixel-perfect the way a PC FPS should feel. I love it a lot, and it's actually a very fun game to play. I enjoy it quite a bit more than I liked the first one.
Okay.
And it's a really, really good example of, here's a modern game doing something very pretty. Granted, your DirectX 10s and 11s are going to be sitting there doing nothing on your fancy card, but who cares? It actually looks really, really good. So it's a good example of what can be done with older API.
Okay.
And something that you would get no benefit for running an i7. You know, a squillion dollar PC. Your $1,000 thing will charge right in there and be effective as shit for the foreseeable future. The first thing out in the future that really concerns me in any way is Skyrim.
Yeah.
But I don't imagine. I mean, didn't, like, they're staying in the same tech, aren't they?
No.
Is it not?
No, it's not with the Game Boreo. They're doing a whole new engine.
Game Boreo?
Yeah.
Game Brio.
Whatever.
No, not whatever.
Game Brio.
Game Brio.
Game Boreo.
That's what I said. Yeah, they're going with a different engine.
What engine? Are they really? Is that a lie? Is it just some modified Game Brio? Because they've done that before.
Yeah.
Todd Howard likes to tell sexy lies. I mean, he does. I'm not down on the man. They produce good stuff. But it's like, no, totally different engine. I mean, it's the same, but it's totally different. Did I say it was different? I meant it was the same, but it's not. And he does that sort of shit.
So. Wikipedia has it listed as the creation engine.
Yeah.
It doesn't help me.
Yeah.
I don't know the... like, the ancestry of the creation engine. Whatever, it's kind of an unknown, and every time they've released one of their games, it's been a bit of a benchmark, you know. And I've always had to skulk away to the console because
you know
it's never been timed correctly for me.
Yeah.
So this time I've got them by the short and curlies. But whatever. I mean, good time for PC.
Yeah.
Just is. Regardless. I mean, we know it, and there's been a, you know, the swell has been there for a long time. But, good time for first run shit right now. Pretty good time for exclusives.
Yeah.
Always a good time for the cheap and easy indie stuff.
Speaking of what, Hawkins?
Yeah, everybody seen Hawken? Did you guys see Hawken? We'll have to load that shit up. Yeah. I'll show it to you, then you'll go buy a new PC.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
it's an indie game made by this little startup out in California.
Yeah, nine people.
Nine dudes. Like, nine assholes. 9 months. And they've produced, like, this, using the Unreal Engine, produced, like, this really, really, like, just luscious looking mech game. Really, really pretty. Unless somebody else, you, guy who's not recording the show.
Oh, you'll get it.
Yeah, yeah. Cash
I'm doing
video.
It.
Oh, okay, well, great, Matt's doing it. So his fan will start roaring like a furnace. It's okay, I'm just watching a video.
It does not sound like
yes,
that.
Yes, it does, actually.
You say that, man, and then it's coming. It's coming.
Man, that's really awesome. I'm glad you're building. Good, it's a good time to build.
It is.
Good hardware. Things kind of make sense. things are sort of derivative of the last generation. Nobody's going out into a weird place. It's nice. It's really, really nice. I wonder if he's there yet. I wonder if he's at the place. You know the place where you have to press the button? And your heart stops.
Especially when it doesn't start. And you're like, crap, what did I get?
Yeah. See, if you're building it with other people, you have to be careful that you didn't accidentally look the other way and somebody tripped the hard switch on your power supply.
Because they would do that.
Yes, because they would do that.
None of
that's
us.
A bad one. or maybe like an errant case screw is grounding your PCB or something like that. That's a bad one. I've had that before. That one made me.
I wish I could get him on Skype so we could just every now and again during the show be like, "How's it coming?"
Yeah,
he could just give us an update.
Is he building alone?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh my God, man! Your first build alone?
He compiled the parts by himself.
Yeah.
Just doing his own research.
He's so much better than you.
He is.
You couldn't even build your second PC alone.
But, yeah. I mean, being better than me, really, that's not much of a challenge. But
I mean, don't get me wrong. Just having people around to drink and antagonize you while you're building your PC is just really fun, you know? But building your first shit all by yourself? Did you do that?
Yeah.
Fucking tough, dude.
Asked all of you. That was the research, getting everything I could,
but I mean,
some friends of mine.
Putting it together.
Putting it together, kind of
its own skill set, you know. And if anything goes wrong, you don't necessarily have anybody right to hand, you know, the comforting hand on the shoulder. Just like no, just step aside.
It'll be
all right. Because I've had to do that. I've had people wig the fuck out when their shit didn't act right. It's like no, just go to the other room. Go to the other room, light up, have a drink, something, it'll be fine. You know, like, have a cigar, pace back and forth in the waiting room, do what you need to do, like, because it's a thing, you know, because it's a non-trivial amount of money, and it's very stressful.
Yeah, it was the hardest thing about mine was basically getting all the programs to work together, but the actual hands-on. That was
it's really a two-stage process.
Yeah, I mean, the hands-on part I could deal with, you know. The most stressful part about that was putting the heat sink on, because that was where all the crunching in the motherboard came from.
That, okay, good that you brought that up. That's actually not gotten any better. As a matter of fact, it's gotten worse. The quality of retail heat sinks has gone way down.
When was the last time you built? How long ago? Just to get an idea.
It was for when?
What processor did you use?
A year and a half.
That's not too long.
Since I put all that new stuff in mine.
Yeah.
What? A year and a half since you upgraded?
Yeah, upgraded some stuff on my PC.
Okay.
But before that, it was 6 years.
6 years. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, I don't update, but every 6 or 7 years or so. I'm not.
What are you running now?
Hmm?
What are you running now?
It's not that ISO one before it.
So like a
Core 2?
A Core 2?
Probably.
Core 2 Duo or Duo, Core 2 Quad?
Core 2 Duo, yeah.
Okay. That's what he's running. That's what I was running. It's entirely workable. I mean,
it works. That's what...
It's a few years old, but it's totally workable.
Every PC I've ever had was a few years behind the modern. I didn't have to have the top-of-the-line stuff. Just what runs
generally
everything now.
Well, yeah. Those were already pretty bad. But anymore, the heatsink and fan combinations are just fucking wretched, man. There's almost, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's okay. If you buy an i5 or an i7 with a K at the end of it, you did it because you want to overclock. If you're smart enough to know that that's the thing you want to buy because you're going to overclock, what the fuck are you doing with a retail heatsink and fan? You're going to buy an aftermarket kit anyway, so we're just going to reduce the quality. I mean, it's just chintzy-ass aluminum, you know?
Yeah.
And a rattle-trap, stupid little fan. It's the cheapest shit they can give you. But I remember being able to get a 50% overclock out of retail cooling.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore. I barely trust it to run it at the retail clock with that shit on it. So, but those are bad. Just all crunchy and nasty, and you're never quite sure they fit correctly. Yeah. Fucking crap. The aftermarket stuff's real good, you know, actual bolts.
Yeah.
So,
That'll be something for next time then. Yeah. That and Nine-Eye.
Nine-Eye, dude. I'm telling you. We love it.
It's pretty nice stuff.
Yeah, after the day his shit came in, he went home to build. I got a text that evening and said, I heart Nine-Eye.
It's just really simple because I don't have to worry about forgetting a simple program. I go there, I click on everything on the page, and it's like, while I'm doing other stuff. Mm-hmm. Kind of low bandwidth and stuff. It's really good stuff. I like it. Could use that any time in the past.
Yeah.
Well, I could have used a Windows install that worked perfectly
the first time
in 10 minutes and updated itself from the internet during its install.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and it's still not properly modern. You know, it's still a little bit behind where it could be. But
better than anything we've had to deal with.
If they have it actually done good work with 7, top to bottom. It's really clean. Really fucking clean. But yeah, Crysis, though, I'm not kidding. They did a good job. I don't know about the multiplayer, but like if you got like kind of an edge for a decent single player man shoot, like it's all right. It's better than it had any right to be, I think.
All right.
Certainly better than I thought it would be after playing the console version, and I didn't think that was crap, but I didn't expect a moderately slick
that leap between the two.
Yeah, I expected it to be trashy because I didn't expect them to expose all of the config options somewhere I could get them. Really, I think that's all anybody wants. Go ahead and make it a console port, man, but just let me change what I need to change. I know where to find the INI. I've been doing this for a minute. So just don't hide that shit behind some, you know, crazy batch file or some shit like that. Let me get to it easily. And all is fine. No hostility from the PC community. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you allowed to think? The video.
No, I thought he was doing it.
I thought we told him not. Ah, oh, Jesus Christ. Whatever.
I'm sorry, were we supposed to pay attention to you?
Man. You wake up in the morning paying attention to me. Don't make me open old wounds.
Day you don't, day you dead.
Alright. What do we do? Is that the thing going?
Yeah, we can jump into Twitter.
Twitter.
Count Elmdor says, regarding the last episode, I went 360 Assassin's Creed 2 to PS3 Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, so he had no save. He had the same recap cinema and all his shit on Ezio as though it were the same console. So apparently it didn't matter what you had going on, because we had brought that up in the show. Yeah. Like, I wonder if it, you know, if it recognized what you had at the end of the thing. No, it doesn't. Just gives you whatever. Gives you everything. I noticed signs that Assassin's Creed Brotherhood was rushed, but I'm still impressed. Having suspected it to be a cash-in, thoroughly enjoyed it. When's Assassin's Creed 3?
Yeah, I haven't clocked any more time. I still gotta come over and get that from you.
Yeah, you do. I got it.
I mean, I have to agree. I've bellyached about it because I think there's an awful lot of slogging to be done to make any actual progress, and I don't think it's anything in comparison to Assassin's Creed 2, but it's no small thing to build Rome.
Yeah.
So, setting aside all my other gripes, mm-hmm. they built a city. In comparison, I just don't think I can be honestly pissed off about that, seeing the efforts from other people. If I have to be with whiny-ass Ezio and his double whiny-ass sister and, you know, this punk-ass rogues gallery of dudes from the Renaissance, like... Okay, you built me some Rome. Can't complain too much.
I like how you don't have to go to the modern time with the guy. Oh, fuck.
Desmond,
yeah. Oh, you don't have to if you don't want to, because like before, they'd kick you out of Animus, and you had to, hey, what's going on, everybody, and talk around, and then you go back in the Animus. Now it's just like you could spend all your time in it doing around Rome. And, like, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, I could actually get out and see what's going on in the real world. And I'm like, they're bitching about their iPods, you know, and who wants lunch. And I'm like, oh, fuck that. I want to go back to the
right. Or you can only run around the little town anyway, so far as I've been.
Yeah, there's DLC release now. I got to pick some of that up.
For what? For Brotherhood?
Yeah.
What's the focus of it?
Two new multiplayer maps, I think, but it's like seven new things to do in the single player. That follows follows a storyline.
Yeah. Oh, it's kind of like its own little side thing.
Yeah. Something. What are you? Da Vinci gets kidnapped.
Yeah, Da Vinci disappearance or something like that.
That sounds very.
In my.
The problem is, from what I understand, the DLC picks up where the end of Brotherhood leaves off. In other words, the
intention is for you.
The big cutscene at the end of Brotherhood. There's a little bit more information for that at the beginning of this, or at the end of it, whatever.
That's a better way to do it than sticking it in the middle of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like the first time they did that?
Well, like any time anybody's ever done it, just about, you know.
Mm-hmm. It necessitates a certain kind of ending with your game,
mm-hmm.
which I guess is okay. I imagine there's a real art to that, you know? I mean, being able to finesse an ending in such a way that it feels like a goddamned ending,
mm-hmm.
but where it's nonetheless open for additional, I don't know, like flourishes for you to add to the narrative. You know what I mean? It's tough, I guess. I mean, because some things just need to be ended.
Yeah,
and that's all there is to it.
Nabago fan 87. Has issues with Assassin's Creed Brotherhood on his PC. Figures, I get to the very end of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and it crashes, loading the final cutscene sequence. Lovely port job sequel. You have problems a lot of times, man.
Yeah,
it's not your fault, man. It's not your fault.
It isn't your fault.
But yeah, I hate that these things happen to you, but I don't know. I haven't heard of anybody else having that problem, but then again, you're the only one that has brought that up to us.
Right. I'm sorry. Is he playing on the PC?
He's playing on the PC. Okay, yes. Good.
I would see, now that I have one built. I kind of want to do that. The RPS was.
I was going to say they gave it.
They were quite fond of it.
Yeah, they were.
They recognizing it precisely for what it was.
I was going to say, and they were quite fond of it while stating at the beginning. I think of the review that they're like, we were all ready to shit on this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And. Yes, there are problems. Here they are. Let's forget about them and talk about why we like the game.
Yeah, exactly. Dustin Fisher says, am I the only person who gets an Uncanny Valley vibe from LA Noire footage?
I haven't consumed any.
I haven't watched much of it.
I haven't seen any. How have I not seen any?
Mm.
Isn't that coming out?
Yeah, next month.
Is that next month?
It is next month.
Is that on the... What's it on?
PS3 consoles. God. It's Rockstar.
That's right. That's right.
It was originally a PS3.
I got pissy about that.
Yeah. Because Rockstar apparently has just said, yeah, fuck you, PCs.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm mostly looking at stuff for the PC in the next few months anyway, so... unfortunately, it means it's probably going to be a rental, but I guess I'd really like to take a look at it. Maybe I won't watch anything before I see it.
I've seen very little. I've seen just enough to be like, kind of like Red Dead, where it's a little bit different in Red Dead. I saw it and I was like, I want to see more, because it was like, yes, West, you've done it. This one, I see it and I'm like, all right, fine. I like noir. I'll take
40s
it.
40s LA.
I'll take it. I don't need to see any more, and I'm just going to jump into it. So.
Yeah.
Kyrie writes in, new Mass Effect 2 DLC, not so good, but it was supposedly made by a different part of BioWare. I think James might rage over something in it.
I
heard it was short.
I don't think that's what he'll rage over.
Short can be okay. Yeah. I.
Did you hear what you...
No.
Okay, I don't know either.
I would have to hate it ahead of time, have it spoiled for me, and be told that it... I don't know, shits all over everything they've already done or something to not pick it up. I actually just keep forgetting, but I've done same every here. Other piece of DLC, and they've made it clear this is the last one.
And I think that's supposed to go into 3.
Supposed to. This is the thing that bridges the gap a little bit. So,
I have an update from Iron Past.
What he says?
Everything's in, connecting power to everything.
Blargle.
Hearing the small crunch putting in the CPU was pretty scary. Overall, though, pretty easy.
Yeah. There's a couple things that are kind of scary.
It's his first build, so he really has no experience of how bad it could be.
Well, it is going to differ board to board.
Yeah,
I think how they put. I mean, the socket architecture is the same, but how they close down. This is a little bit of a pain in the ass.
Gersnort says, I just clocked in 40 plus hours in Pokemon Black, and I don't know why I'm so hooked. Do you guys have any games like this?
Well, like games we have no business being.
I don't know. I guess something that you drop a shit ton of time in, but you really don't know why it's drawing you in. I guess that's what he's asking.
I know there has been. Nothing currently. I'm having to think back.
Warcraft?
It's gonna go MMO, yeah. City of Heroes.
I mean, for
City of Heroes after we stopped grouping.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was just going by myself.
Yeah, right now, none of my people are playing, but it's easy for me to get in, like, do my thing, run a couple heroics, and like be good at it, and then be done, and be like, why the fuck did I do this? I wish I only clocked 40 hours.
I look at stuff that I buy like that. Look at them, like.
Sid Meier's Pirates.
Fuck, did I buy all that? Jeez.
Sid Meier's Pirates?
Yeah, that's when I remember that.
Clocking a lot of time on that?
Yeah, especially when I was living in England, I got that and I just would play it. I mean, because it's one of those just kind of throwaway kind of games that, you just play.
See, if I had any affection for Minecraft, I would say Minecraft, because yeah. Minecraft seems precisely the kind of thing designed.
That would be the best answer for that question. I would totally agree with you, because I did put in, I put in a lot of time for about a week, but it was a lot of time for that week, just doing
for
the...
almost nothing, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I still couldn't understand the draw, really.
Well, I mean, it is there.
It is.
I don't like to say bad things about it, because people get upset. I really like it a lot. And if you have if you got a sandbox itch... There you go.
Yeah, really. Matthew McFarland, Iron Pass, wants to know if it was messy, James' head exploding.
Which time?
Well, he's referring to GameStop buying Impulse.
Yeah.
He put it back together all right. His head, I mean.
I don't see how anything good can possibly come of this. Did you read the story about the developer that pulled their shit from him?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
of this? That devolved into like kind of a thing on RPS, because one of the very 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 wonderful things about RPS is that it being one of the last bastions of pure PC gaming, any of the developers in the world who are concerned primarily with things of the PC will go. Are never alone in the comments.
Yeah.
RPS doesn't exist as some kind of strange barrier between you and the world of developers. They're so supportive of indies, and they are such tireless advocates of PC gaming that where the fuck else is anybody going to go who has any interest in sharing their voice? And I found that discussion to be... I found his reasoning to be perfect. Even more so when he had to fight claims that, well, whatever, you're spread across several different development or distribution platforms. What great loss was it to you? Nobody makes money on Impulse, blah, 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 blah. He said 25% of their money comes from Impulse. So it was no small thing. It was their second biggest moneymaker behind Steam.
Yeah.
And their game has appeared several times in Impulse's top 10. So they are no small thing to the platform either. Whatever else it might be, I thought his reasoning was really sound. On the one hand, it was somewhat ethical. He says he just doesn't, and who does? Why? I mean, I'm all for actually having to defend your statements when you really should have to defend your statements. But is it even necessary as a PC gamer or a developer to just sneer and say, "Nah, I don't like the way they do business"? Because I don't like the way they do business. It doesn't have anything to do with the developer's fear of used games. Used PC games were never... They didn't ever work really well at GameStop, and they got out of that business a long-ass time ago. The problem is, as he put it, they only know how to exploit. They are not big because they're brilliant. Paraphrasing his words, they don't actually understand the market. They misunderstand it terribly. They have simply learned how to exploit one sector of the market. And this is demonstrably true. Fewer PC games means more shelf space for used games. None of us morally challenge the morality of selling used games. We understand that it makes perfect sense, the secondary market. We also understand that it causes harm. We're nowhere near a resolution yet. But the publishers are going to win. They're going to find ways around it. You want to play multiplayer?
Yeah.
Buy the new game. You want any DLC ever? Buy the new game. They're going to figure this out. And they're already working
towards it. They're starting to,
At a faster pace than I reckoned they would. But, yeah, they're not a safe bet. They're going to be blockbuster in a few more years. So any optimistic outlook that says, aha, they're trying to get ahead of the curve, they're trying to recognize the need for digital distribution, and that's why they've grabbed Impulse, doesn't ring true. And that was the second part of his argument. If you know and have been to their site any time in the last, 5 years, they have their own digital distribution method.
Yep.
They've just refused utterly to leverage it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they don't have enough money?
No.
Of course, of course they don't. It's probably not even a lack of will. It's this terrible misunderstanding. They are the dinosaur. They're as much a dinosaur as any of the telecoms that we constantly bitch about. They can't even turn around far enough to sniff their own asses. They're not a safe bet in the kind of future that's best for him. So he said he couldn't expose the details of the arrangement, but he was required at more or less the drop of a hat to make a decision about his future. Want to stay with it and be a part of what they're doing or not? He chose not.
Yeah, if that's the way they want to be, fine.
And maybe, I don't think it's insignificant that it buys him a little bit of cred, a little bit of legitimacy. It was probably a calculated decision, and frankly, that's okay.
Yeah.
If your calculations work against GameStop, I'm actually okay with that because I don't like them and I don't like the practices. So, bully, you know? But as for the whole thing of them buying Impulse, no, man, I'm not optimistic about it. It's something they don't know how to...
They don't know how to market it.
Yeah.
They don't know how to do it.
You know, I don't know, they just don't, they know how to use it. It's a tool that I don't think they have any understanding how to use. So, I'll be interested to see what'll happen. Maybe they'll try.
Obviously late to the scene on that, but I hadn't bought anything from Impulse. I had never used them for the most part. Anything that I wanted that they had, I could also get off of Steam. But the only thing would be Sens.
Yeah, there's other there's other sources like direct to download or direct to drive or
direct to drive. Yeah,
there's plenty of avenues for that.
Not enough, actually.
There's a few.
We've been over that. I don't want to get into that thing necessarily, but
you know where that goes.
Yeah, and again, another thing that has yet to be resolved.
Mm-hmm.
How does that actually work? How many fucking platforms am I going to have to tie my product to?
Did you see? And I'm sure it was just a mistake, but going into this, where GameStop was having a sale on New Vegas for $20 for PS3 or 360. However, the website, GameStop's website, had the PC version still at $60 if you wanted to grab it. And that's for download, too.
It's fucking absurd.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to give them credit that, they just had a little... They forgot. But even though, there you go, that's what they think.
Well, they do know where their bread is buttered.
Yeah,
They hate PCs. They've been hating on PCs for a long time now.
Not without reason.
And the PC market has been in a recession for several years, it seems.
It seems, but you're wrong. The PC market is not in decline. It's losing share to the consoles. The consoles are gaining always better. But the PC market, in absolute numbers, has always been going up. But the sales have shifted violently to digital distribution.
and away from retail boxed copies. That's it. The facts are quite simple. We don't have absolute numbers of digital distribution sales, but whatever. The DD sales are great. And even forgetting stuff like World of Warcraft, the sales in general of PC software is fantastic. And so what if it isn't at the same market level that console games are? Console games have one thing. They have the $60 new game. That's it. The PC refuses to confine itself to that. Yeah, there's that market. There's the $60 new game, which often is the $45 new game. A pre-order incentive I can get behind, by the way.
Yeah.
But there's also the indie market and the classic market and the, the investment wear market. There are a lot of things that console is just dumb to. Arcade and virtual network and PSN stuff aside. But, yeah, it's, I don't know. It's, they had their reasons. They'll get their comeuppance. And that'll be that. And they'll be, who the hell bought Blockbuster? Before I make another Blockbuster
Direct TV.
Analogy.
Dish Network.
Was it Dish?
Yeah, it was Dish.
Shit.
It was actually Dish. Well, I mean, that could be a thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Any number of questions about what's going to go on.
Damn,
who the hell's going to buy GameStop?
Direct.
New York Times?
Psych Daddy writes in and says, about the SH5 DRM, before I go further, it's SH5, what, Silent Hill?
Silent Hunter.
We talked about Silent Hunter. That's what it was. Silent Hunter 5 DRM. Same with Command & Conquer 4. A function of its design is to force each member of a household to buy a copy of the game.
Yeah.
It's also designed to reduce used sales, but has that seriously ever been a problem for the PC? Fucking up my CNC, fuck you, EA.
Yeah, it hasn't been a problem. Used sales, back alley deals of PC games.
Yeah.
If used
sales of PC games were a problem, then they would have a market, a big shelf at GameStop.
Yeah, so, totally. Yeah, very good. Very good point.
Totally. Nabokov Fan 87, James, what CPU do you have in your PC?
i5-2500K.
Okay. He said to check this, and it's an AMD thread on Steam for fixing some issues. If that doesn't help.
For what?
If that doesn't help, then email me to fix CCC.
Oh, okay. No, I'm fine now.
AMD Phenom users, major fix for frame rate.
I'm fine.
Okay, cool. Didn't know if you were reading that or not. So
I saw what it was. Actually. Okay, I know what it is.
Thundrago says, do you think we'll ever see WoW on Xbox Live, or would Microsoft be worried that WoW or something similar would break Live?
I don't think we would.
We can't. You know, we won't see WoW. Well, I don't know, man. I don't know.
You used to be pretty confident we'd see an MMO on there this generation. And I mean, we've already seen Final Fantasy, but whatever.
But
they've been viciously dragging their feet against DC. Anybody that's wanted to bring an MMO to Xbox Live.
Yeah, DC Universe.
Pretty much all of them have been canceled.
Yeah.
At this point, become PC only.
DC Universe is a thing, but it doesn't have anywhere near the complexity of something born on the PC.
Yeah.
I think they're perfectly happy with their numbers on the PC, but. And I think it would be a little bit too difficult. It just wasn't. It wasn't designed with the consoles in mind. Mm-hmm. But I'm starting to have a lot of. I'm starting to question a lot of my own thoughts about what they might do eventually when their subscription numbers start to flag, and they will. They'll flag greatly. They're flagging badly now. If not subscription numbers, then certainly active logins. They're not managing their game very well. And we still log in every now and then and play, but I don't give a shit about it. It'll be creeping up on 6 months before they've made any advancements in the raid game. And for guys that are serious about the raid game, it's too long. They won't have added any mid-level content of any significance, and most of the mid-level content that they launched with is trash.
Yeah.
It's got reams and reams and reams of problems. And people aren't caring right now. A lot of people left for Rift. It's not fundamentally different, but it is new. And anything new is good right now.
Yeah.
And
they have a tendency to hold back, either hold back until or push out announcements regarding new content to a time when something else, something competitive is coming out. Right at Rift's launch is when they released all the information about 4.1 and so forth and such as that and everything like that. So what's...
You think they'll do something like that for Old Republic?
Yes, but before that they'll do something like that for Guild Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Guild Wars is going to... this has been said so many times, and it has always been wrong, but I think Guild Wars 2 is going to hurt them badly. Really, really badly. And I think the Old Republic, probably, 6 months after that, early 2012, is going to be a kind of a 1-2. And they are going to lose numbers, but they are also... resume.
We have an update from Iron Past on his build. Looks like it's time for cleanup and holding my breath.
Ah, Jesus.
Oh, boy.
Fuck cable management.
Although it's quite roomy.
Yeah, he's got plenty of room.
Yeah.
Nice big fan. 500 watt power supply. That's more than enough. I gotta lean in closer so I can take a look at the picture. What is that? Oh, he actually has a discrete sound card. Let's see one of those in a minute.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, all right. All right. Looks okay to me. Everything appears to be plugged in. I'm sure you know better than I do. What are you trying to do?
Zoom in.
Be fancy with your iPad?
Zoom in. Get my money's worth, damn it! So yeah, there's the update, and I told him to keep us posted on everything. Hopefully he'll let us know that it started up. It will start up. Where were we? Are we done there?
Yeah, no, we're done with this.
Okay.
We're done with that stuff.
Where
were we in this stuff?
Yeah. Let's go with Spigot. He says, I'm quite enjoying the 3DS, but they put the power button where the start button was, and I lost 45 minutes of play on a DS game.
Shitballs.
I just shut the 3DS in disgust when I realized what I had done. So angry.
Well, it was probably time to recharge it anyway.
Actually,
45 minutes, probably. You're right.
Tess got one for her birthday.
Oh, really?
I haven't had a chance to mess around with it at all.
I saw a display unit of one.
It looks good.
I believe it, I guess.
But I don't have any games I want to play on it right now.
Right. Well, I know that comes up in the emails.
The display unit I saw had Street Fighter in it, and so I just I picked around, playing Dan and just trying to see how it was going. And you can actually in game you can turn the 3D on or off with a slider on the side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I'm like, all right, looking at it, just turn it off real quick. And I'm like, all right, then turn it back on. It was interesting.
Interesting.
It was kind of making my eyes. I only saw it for just a few minutes, but even then, I was like, I could. If I stared at this for a while, I think I would. My eyes would not like that one bit.
There's a lot to be said for the ability to change the intensity of the 3D.
Yeah.
On the fly, I kind of appreciate that.
With regards to Dragon Age 2, the random banter between Meryl the Naive Elf and Isabella the Saucy Pirate is worth the price of admission.
It really is. Listening to Isabella try to explain multiple lesbian lovers to her is... Or was she trying to explain that to my sister? Equally naive. I think that may have been... Oh, yeah, because your sister's a virgin, right? It's because it's a whole thing. Maybe that was it. Regardless, I feel you.
He goes on to say that my son was bawling in the computer chair because a wolf with glowing red eyes killed him. Thanks, Notch, for that little Minecraft update. Spartacus 21 leads us into probably what our next discussion will be, though I know you likely are going to talk about it, Anonymous attack on Sony.
Still waiting to see what what the real attack on Sony is going to be.
Yeah, the DDoS was just an amuse-bouche, man. Like, that was just some fucking around.
Hi, we're here.
That was the opening salvo.
Yeah.
Well, what we were talking about earlier is borderline.
Yeah, I was just trying to imagine what they could have up their sleeves, and you know, it's purely in the realm of speculation. But I know that when I was reading up on how the PS3 jailbreaks work, I was reading that the newest firmware they don't have any jailbreaks or modified firmware for it. So what they've been doing is running a proxy server that their PS3 will connect to. Using hacked firmware so they can play their bootleg games or whatever. Then they connect to PSN, and the proxy makes it look like they're running the latest unhacked firmware. And they were saying that basically if you plugged in, if you knew real PlayStation ID numbers, hardware numbers, you could plug in somebody else's number and tell the proxy server to report hacked firmware, and you could get their PS3 banned.
Ooh, damn.
And I was like, imagine the damage Anonymous could do if they managed to get a hold of a list of PS3 hardware IDs.
Yeah.
Like I said, just pure speculation on my part. And no one has any idea right now, I think, what it is they're actually planning.
If it's a piece of internet violence that you can imagine, you have to suppose it already imagined by Anonymous.
Right.
It's what they do. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they're not looking to do that, but they're certainly looking to take things a step further. I mean, don't even bother talking about the righteousness of any crusade of theirs. They simply are what they are.
Yeah.
You know, like, whatever. I'm neither going to support them or rail against them. I'll only mark them as, my, what an interesting thing, and go along my merry way. Until they, you know, make my PS3 take a shit in order to make a broad point. Mm-hmm. But then the guess was how Sony would respond. The idea, no matter what they do, even if a bunch of innocent people, even a bunch of humans get in the way, they are always interested in destroying something else.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to just fucking destroy massive numbers of real people. They've got a crusade. And the crusade doesn't necessarily... It doesn't end with... assuming your scenario. The point is to harm Sony some way. So it's a chess game. Mm-hmm. It's not just like, neener, neener, we kind of fucked up your thing. It's, now we forced your hand.
Yeah.
You either have to live with this many pissed off customers, or you have to shut down an entire part of your network.
Mm-hmm.
You have to change your ways against your will in order to keep doing business. So,
I mean, theoretically, if depending on whether Sony could differentiate, and that could be the goal. If they can't differentiate between legit bans and fake bans, then
if you had
would they be forced to stop banning altogether?
Yeah. Or if you've had your ban in the past for legit reasons, can you be like, hey, look, they got me, and they'd unban you?
There's a lot of questions. Yeah. I mean, can they?
And it's probably pretty wide of the mark, but it's the sort of thing they would pull if they could.
It's merely an example of they would do this in order to cause the greatest harm to how Sony operates in regards to the circumstances that initiated their attack.
Right.
I don't know. It's, like you say, it's entirely speculation. But they're not gonna stop with that. That's just boring. And I don't think they're trying to scare Sony. I don't think you can.
Yeah.
And I think they know that. You have to do something to them. But I don't know. They're substantial.
Whatever brings the greatest amount of lulls.
Yeah, that's it. Lulls away, I suppose. I don't know, a matter of weeks maybe before they do what they want to do.
Who knows? Who knows?
Shrin would like to know if we have any opinions on Spiral Knights. Fun little Zelda Link to the Past style dungeon crawler. MMO.
I have no knowledge of it.
I don't either.
Mm. Now I'm going to have to go form an opinion. I guess Spiral Knights?
Spiral Knights.
Maybe I do know about that. Maybe that's in my head somewhere.
I shall hit it up real quick. Nope. Just from the, just from looking at the pictures that just popped up when I...
Three Rings. The guys do Puzzle Pirates and such.
It's Okay.
It was just released this month.
I'm going to have to go looky and plicky. Leave that off to the side, though. Let's go back to the main event.
Kyrie wants to know if we've ever watched StarCraft II matches with commentary. It's more entertaining than you might think.
I don't know. I actually would think it's pretty good, assuming...
What, with commentary?
StarCraft II.
Okay.
I believe in that business. I believe in running commentary of video game matches.
Calgar. Yeah, Calgar 99 says, with DLC, I always feel like I'm being financially molested. Am I alone?
Nope. You are ever more molested all the time, as a matter of fact. Dragon Age 2 being just a...
huge goat fest?
Yeah, God, man. Just a violent example of how to do that.
Speaking of Dragon Age 2, and on into the emails, Son of Seth would like... would like more discussion of Dragon Age 2. I crave more discussion about Dragon Age 2. I did my best to satisfy that desire on the forums, but it just wasn't enough. By all accounts, I should love the game. I loved Mass Effect 2 for what it did to Mass Effect gameplay, but here, the game just wouldn't click with me. The feeling was very much like Uncanny Valley, but with no reference point in the real world. It was just like something was off the whole time. Sadly, I lack the words to explain why I'm feeling this way. Hopefully you guys played it and have something smarter to say about it. Looking forward to the next episode.
Well, Hawk, while being a likable guy, and, you know, and I'm kind of with him here. I wasn't down on the gameplay ability of it. I think that the hacky slashy bits work pretty well for the guy I'm playing on the console in particular. I should say, near the end of Act 2 on the console, but now having a new PC that can gobble it up, everything set to max, DirectX 11 and the extra texture pack, I will be restarting there. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Well, to begin with, Hawk is such a fucking waste. He's a waste. He's not a bad guy. He can be played as sort of a snarky, lovable, you know, bearded quirk. You know, not a bad dude. A little bit rogue. A little bit. I don't know. You could go heel with him. You could do whatever you want. He can be made to be an interesting guy, and I don't mind the inclusion of the voice. I think it's okay. But what the fuck, man? I don't get to know. I don't get to make any decisions about who he is. I have no connection with him as a guy. He really does feel like a puppet at arm's length, and I don't care to be him. I would rather have him as a party member than be him. And I think that says a lot. I think everybody was able to connect in a much better way with their Shepard than anybody's able to connect with this Hawk. It just doesn't matter. Maybe the Lady Hawk is better. I couldn't actually say. But this is a BioWare game, for fuck's sake. If you can't anchor yourself to the character...
Yeah, they're doing something wrong.
You cannot be set adrift in the middle of a narrative in a BioWare game. It's too important. You lose your through line. The whole thing feels like a bit of a mess. And comparing gameplay stories to several different friends... Every key point in the game is so terribly, terribly contrived. It's like a... I don't know, man. It's like an episode of some sci-fi show where you keep going back in time trying to save something from happening, but the universe always contrives to make it come out just as bad. You know what I mean? Minor spoilery stuff here, but in at the end of Act 1... You know, you go into the big event, you got to go down to the deep roads, you know some shit's going to happen. You want to take your sister with you. Well, your brother's already dead, your father's dead, your mom comes, she gets pissed off about it. She's like, don't take your sister, I just couldn't deal with it if either one of you died. You know, she's weaker than you are, you know, I need whatever. If you take her with you, she gets infected and she'll die. If you take Anders with you as well, because he's a Grey Warden, he can help get her saved, but she has to become a Grey Warden to do it. If that happens, she's gone the rest of the game. So she may as well be dead. You don't get to have her anymore. If you choose the safe route and be like, aha, I just won't take you, then while you're gone to the Deep Roads, she gets captured by the Circle.
So you're totally damned if you do.
No matter what you do, it is contrived that you cannot have her with you. It is so what you do doesn't matter. It sort of comes out at the end.
her disposition toward you, assuming she's alive at all, is a little bit different. And I mean a little bit, based on what happened. But either way, she's gone. Kind of pisses me off, because I liked having her in my party. I thought that her character matched what I wanted to do very well. Being a very, very pro-apostate mage kind of gameplay that I was doing. No matter what you do, your sibling dies in the beginning. You can't choose what kind of dude you were, so how you roleplay your dude doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of simple, but the ability to choose your origin and your defining event, I guess it was, in Mass Effect, was kind of cool. And it wasn't a lot, but it was a hell of a lot more than you get in this game. I feel like I have no control over these people. Very limited number of people I actually like. I'm pissed off because I feel constantly driven to have a certain makeup in my party, since I don't have as much freedom in choosing how people are spec'd. For example, my sister had some healing spells, like some proper, you know, creation magic healing. Anders does as well. I don't like Anders. I liked him in Awakenings. I don't like him in this. So when my sister was, you know, with him and my sister in my party, I could at least have two healers. And so if I needed that extra buffer, I felt like it was there. When she left, I had to bring in the other mage if I wanted to roll with as much mage as I possibly could. And Meryl she can't use creation magic because she's blood mage. So there you go, but you just fundamentally changed how I have to play my game.
Yeah.
Because of one little choice. It's all very weird. I think the characterizations are just terrible. The banter is fantastic. A lot of the story evolution really isn't, though. And damn it, if you're going to lock me within Kirkwall for the majority of the gameplay, I do not mind, but please, for the love of God, do something even moderately aggressive with the environment design. It's not horrible, but
if you're going to be staring at it for all that time,
it's the only place you're going to be. You can be there at night if you so choose, but and that changes things a little bit, but it doesn't make it different. The dungeons recycling is a little annoying, largely because the mini-map does not adapt to what it is. So you'll be in the ground plan for a mansion or one of the large buildings, or you'll be in the ground plan for the cave. But based on what version of it you're in at the moment, for which particular quest you are, certain sections of it are locked off almost arbitrarily. And so you'll see on your mini-map, like it goes up over here, and there's a little notch that comes this way, and there's a room over here. And for a long time, you start thinking, maybe it's a secret door, maybe there's a way to get up there. It's just that they use the same mini-map mapping, no matter what. And they can't even be bothered to let you know that it's this particular layout. It's very unfriendly in that regard. It's got a lot of the same charm, but, you know, what you would expect from them, but
not quite firing all cylinders.
It's not quite right, man. It loses, it's lost something in an attempt to be something else entirely. It's entirely fair that they wanted to make it a better experience on the console, but Jesus, are you mad? You sold a shit zillion copies of the first game. Why would you fundamentally change the formula?
Well, they did that with Mass Effect 1, right?
No, they did not. I'm sorry, but they did not. The difference between Mass Effect 1 and Mass Effect 2 is insignificant compared to the difference between Dragon Age Origins and Dragon Age 2.
Really?
Insignificant. And Mass Effect 2 got better into the bargain. It went from being a sloppy shooter that played like Planetside, for all the inaccuracies and the insignificant nature of your skills until they were at an extremely high level, to being a really, really good shooter. And the story narrowed a little bit, and things became a little less complicated, and there are bad things to be said about it, sure. For the most part, it was made better.
And not for nothing, look at the timeline between Mass Effect and Mass Effect 2, Dragon Age and Dragon Age 2.
Yeah.
Much different.
No, this is not the same degree of change. It is a vast, vast rejiggering of what the game looks like. You know, its profile and just how it goes about its business. Very different game. And I
I don't understand. And it may be an issue of branding, you know? It's just been some damned forgettable side quest thing. Whatever. But I don't know. And I'm not saying it can't be enjoyed, mm-hmm. and that it's not enjoyable and playable, but it is very easy to make your way through this game and have it never leave a barb on you, you know? Just like, whatever, you know. Back to Hightown again for the literally 100th time. Back to this cave. You know, it's very limited in scope. And it takes a long time for a lot of what's really enjoyable about some of the characters to start to come out. It's a confusing word. It's confusing. I will be more interested to see how I and just people in general feel about this game in, say, 5 years. You can do a lot of complaining about Dragon Age Origins, but it's a lot of things it did really, really well. And to look at this game, and very curious what it'll mean to us in a while. Whether it'll be a bit of an Edsel, you know? Just, it's very flat. And I can enjoy it. I will definitely finish it. Even going all the way back to start over again on a different platform. But that may not even play quite as well. But I think it's a little hard to love. I have a friend of ours who is ridiculous. She's stupidly ridiculous a fan of Dragon Age. She's already on like her second or third playthrough of 2.
God.
But like she played through 2, then went back and started Origins again to have a very specific profile from Origins to import into her second playthrough of 2. She's a crazy person. But she did get in on that deal to get Mass Effect 2.
Yeah,
when you buy Dragon Age 2. Mm-hmm. Here, buy a good game with your shite game.
We have an update.
Did he boot?
It's alive, ooh! He says.
Is it with the Aces front end? Oh, this stuff's so creepy now.
EFI?
It's not, yeah, EFI. It's not BIOS anymore. It's
wow.
It's weird. They're weird looking, dude. They're totally. That one looks better than mine. Mine looks stupid bad. The Asus EFI looks actually kind of cool, at least from your picture. Mine is like kind of rubbish and childish looking.
His iPod's upside down.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
That's a hard drive.
That's the hard drive?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you look at that icon, it's like, oh, what'd he do? He plugged in his iPod?
No, hard drive and optical drive. Yeah, that's your new front end, man.
Really?
Yeah, no, that's how everything's like gone. But it's wonky. They're not. None of them are really built correctly.
Okay. There's some English in there.
There's
of them.
And it's bad English. Like instead of F10 to save and exit, like mine says F10 to save and reset. Which one?
You know? Do I want to hit this or not?
Yeah, I mean it means save and restart.
Yes.
But yeah, it's.
He's in easy mode.
Easy mode?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Yeah, there's a lot of like auto overclocking utilities and stuff in there, and it's all like mouseable and clickable. Like,
yeah.
Fuck, dude, mouseable BIOS. That's a hell of a thing.
Man.
Now install your Windows. Did you type him night-night?
I need to.
You're a bad friend.
Let me get to this email and then
it's
I'll
reply to
him.
It's going to be too late by the time he hears this episode. Yeah, you need to.
Oh, no, I've been sending him tweets. Like,
well, that's what I meant.
Right. I keep going on with this.
What am I going to go on about?
I don't know.
You're not reading?
I'm fine.
Do two things at once. No, message him.
I can't. No, read the email. fuck it. Anders from Norway says, hey, guys. Sorry, also getting drunk over here. Just had some
with a capital D, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I want to point that out.
Just had some quick with a capital Q thoughts on the We Dare thing. First off, the PEGI rating probably comes from that there's nothing sexual in the game itself, though there are insinuations.
Hey, can I pause for a second?
Yeah.
I'm really jealous every time I start up a video, and it's
PEGI 18.
And it's of European origin. I hear the PEGI guy.
18.
I love that guy. PEGI 16. And I'm like, yeah. She's a little young. I love that guy. Every time, you know, it's like, we don't even have an ESRB.
No,
and,
boys.
And we don't have anything. It's just like, yeah. It's like, Peggy, 16. Yeah! I don't know why, but yeah.
No, the only thing we have is...
rated M for mature.
Yeah, that's what we've got. Rated T for teen.
Right. No, it's just never, I don't know.
But it's not...
That gentleman has resonance. Yes. You know? There ain't no fucking question about it. Look, shut up.
Peggy, 18.
16.
Killing spree.
It's that, you know?
It's your monster kill.
Yeah. I approve of it. I don't even know how the fuck the scale works, but
I don't either.
I envy you. No short list of things, by the way.
Well, he's telling us here.
But the Peggy rating among them.
He says the rating probably comes from that there's nothing sexual, just insinuations. The insinuations would only be understood by someone in puberty or older, in which case, of course, play the game. Though I would not encourage my son to have sex underage, he would be allowed to play the game.
He'll
I guess.
Be encouraged plenty well on.
I guess that in the States, 18 is the age when you're allowed to have sex, right?
Differs state to state.
Yeah.
In Norway, where I'm from, and most of Europe, it's 16. I think even it's 14 in some countries. It seems like you over there in the States feel bad for thinking sexual or dirty thoughts, or maybe it's because I'm European.
Let me take a quick aside here. To put it very simply, over simply,
we're puritanical.
We're puritanical. We are the very strange, super hyper puritanical, but we're also dirty fucks. We really are. We like the smut as much as anybody else, but we hate ourselves and each other for it.
You know what it reminds me of in a way? The Japanese porn when they had the like pixelate everything out. Not that I watch a lot of Japanese porn.
The next thing you know,
there's some tentacles flying around. It's the weirdest thing.
It's just 98.com. Yeah. Just type 98.com.
Just making sure.
Don't even write a sentence. Just type, not IGHT, not NI.
Boom.
So said, just tell him that.
Oh, fuck. Screw
it. Oh,
there you go. It's gone.
Maybe he'll figure it out.
It reminds me of that, like, you know, they have this crazy-ass shit going on, but yet they still feel so guilty about it, they have to pixelate the crap out.
Yeah. You know? We're very strange about it. Nobody can really explain it over here, but we are very weird about sex that way.
Growing up, some of the people I know that had their fathers that had the craziest porn collection were, like, you know, deacons and stuff like that.
Yeah. And that's that can be okay. But I tell you what, you work in a GameStop over here, and if you even try to be responsible and tell a parent, this is not the game your kid should be playing. It's hyper-violent.
Oh, that's fine.
Excessively violent.
Oh, that's okay.
It's full of titties.
Oh, my God. No way in hell.
Get me to buy this game.
Well,
come on, little John.
I'm not even lying. Like, in my last several months of the stint that I had to do there, when I just didn't give a fuck about anything.
Just anything has titties in it.
I would be like, this is not really...
Epic you Mickey, understand titties.
This is M, right? This is a capital fucking M. Like, this game is really serious when it says M. If it could have two M's on it, it would. That's how many people are killed.
Massively mature.
Yeah. And they're like, well, blah, 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 blah. And I finally, seriously, just got to the point where I was like, it's full of titties.
And that's the deal breaker.
Never once did they proceed past that point. And the kid would even be standing there telling their moms I was making it up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they give you that dirty look like, you fucker.
Yeah. Every time the kid would look at me and be like, I'm going to come back here and I'm going to shoot you. And my mom will be okay with it because at least there's no titties.
Yeah. I'm going to go over there and poop in that corner and you're going to have to clean it up.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're very strange about that sort of thing. So we have like these really weird interactions with that kind of marketing and that kind of advertisement, where it's just very strange. We don't even understand it about ourselves, but we are puritanical as hell, my friend.
Yeah, he says that regardless, it'd be fun to check the game out and try to get some girls playing it, see where it ends. I'll report back.
I think we know where it ends.
Please keep up the good work and podcast. Much appreciated. Anders from Norway.
No way, man. I like hearing from people from Norway. I like to pretend like I live in the free world.
Yeah, really. This next one comes from...
I'm not kidding when I say I would...
Daniel.
Finland, Norway...
Well, I remember hearing a couple years back... I remember reading that people in Norway are like some of the happiest people on the earth.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, so that's what it'd be like.
I live in a small country that's well...
educated
maintained.
And... Yeah.
not filled with religious zealots.
Yeah, I don't want to piss politics all over my
podcast. Too late. I could
go much further.
Tweet from Mr. GT Chris. Did you know it's Be Nice to Matt Day?
Yay!
You're my ass it is.
Shut up, it is.
No, April Fool's Day was last week.
Yeah,
so.
We were actually being fairly nice to him today.
He also says, did you ever talk about Dead Nation? I just started playing it. Nothing like Super Stardust HD, but still fun. Mm-mm, never played it. Did not play it.
I just want to say in that whole Be Nice to Me Day thing.
That was quick.
Today is my puppy's birthday, so I'm happy today.
Today's your puppy's birthday.
Yeah. Well, I guess she's not technically a puppy anymore because it's, you know what? Because
she's
got an 06. So.
Is that what you call your penis?
No. My dog, Ellie. It's her birthday.
You today. Named your penis Ellie? No, I'm just kidding. A penis!
And Jackie Chan's birthday, too.
Oh. Okay.
Your penis shares a birthday with Jackie Chan?
It's not my penis. It's my
dog.
Don't
you know your dog's birthday?
Yeah, it's today.
I have never had a dog whose birthday that I knew its birthday. Mm-hmm. I have always I have always adopted or like found it on
taken
a
taken in. Yeah,
I've always been like, they're like, how old is it? Yeah. I don't know.
It's cut in half and count the rings.
I gave him birthdays, so
yeah.
Charlie's was St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't know why. I just made it that way.
And all honestly, I totally forgot, but I got an email from the vet saying, hey, it's Ellie's birthday. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's today. Okay.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Wow.
All right.
Vets have come a long way.
They really have.
That they inform you of when your dog's birthday is. Daniel Phelps writes in some MMO impressions and gives us a warning that it's pretty long. Something you're probably going to hear me mention often in my emails for a while. I've been playing Eve for a few months now. As someone who's never played an MMO, I thought I might share some of what's happened and things I've done in the game in that time, both to weld the coffin shut on a certain guilt about MMOs I have, and because possibly others within the sounds of your voices might have awkward feelings toward MMOs. Essentially, the rookie's opinion versus an expert's. James can probably fill in any holes I miss, but yeah, it's a Nabokov fan kind of long. Sorry, man. Butcher it as needed. I normally hate dealing with people I don't know, but I absolutely enjoy most of my corp mates' company, and we have each other's backs when needed. That was a big worry for me. Actually, I really, really hate trying to settle in around a bunch of strangers, but it's been perfectly smooth. Since then, I've been in charge of our corp's production. I take the refined minerals that the miners bring in and build ships and fits with it for the corp to either sell and redistribute profits or to hand out to members to aid them in their tasks. I'm very important to the corp as a whole, to the corps as a whole, but no more than the other members. Our miners who bring in the ore are the main PvP guys that watch our asses on dangerous grounds. We all do our part and try to do it well, and it's paid off. It's great fun. Something in particular about Eve that I want to mention. I don't know if other MMOs have anything comparable. The in-game market. It is almost entirely player-driven. Things like skills and item blueprints are sold by NPC corporations, but most everything else is created and sold by players. It's a living system. Prices are constantly fluctuating like a real economy. Even people that don't know how to produce and trade are easily balanced by those that do. In fact, some strategies revolve completely around making use of uninformed and unwise players, which leads me to my next point. Eve is, man, talk about morally ambiguous. Eve actually subconsciously encourages you to be a cocksmoker to other players. As a noob, you'll hate this at first, but as you progress, you'll come to marvel at it. It's an amazing way to balance the game. I don't know how PvP works in relation to PvE and other games, but in Eve, they aren't kept separate, really. Some areas are more restricted than others, but there's lots of ways to incite open combat in even the highest security solar systems. That sounds asshole, but it kind of is, but it also serves to keep miners and PvEers from getting rich too easily. Miners find ways of dealing with or avoiding can flippers. Can flippers?
I'll tell you about it.
Yeah.
I think I've explained it.
Something James will enjoy explaining more than I.
Yeah, I think I've explained that. It's
actually a title name.
Do what?
It was a title name.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
When I was in Iraq.
And it's like that with most professions. The wise man that builds his fort on the rock survives. The jackass mining with a jet can in a heavily populated high-sec system gets goat-fucked. And believe me, after playing a while, you won't feel bad for someone who gets glassed. Almost always, it could have been avoided with a bit of care or planning. It really boils down to survival of the fittest, in a sense. Anyway, having heard all this, tell me, where else can I do any of this? I mean, yeah, other MMOs might have comparable mechanics, but for the $15 a month, the stuff I've been able to do has been worth that many times over. Despite the really steep learning curve, and it is steep, you'll know just how steep when you get your cherry busted the first time, as James would put it. And I'm not even a big sci-fi guy. The genre often has barriers I can't get past, but I promise, even if you don't care fuck all about space travel, flying one of the cool-looking ships across deep space, that's really awesome, man. There's a lot of room to work with from a design standpoint, lots of potential there. I have to assume that other MMOs hold the same captiveness for their respective player base. Otherwise, they wouldn't exist, right? So that's enough, if not too much, for now. Always looking forward to the show, and Scott, regardless of the jokes, you do a good job, man. I know how it is. Even with the recording equipment there in your face, after you leave the station to go home for the day, that part of the brain kind of shuts off, especially when some douchebag recognizes you in Walmart and expects the radio voice. I don't get that at all. Plus, you trudge through some really wordy emails, and you make it to the end of them all, even if you skip the middle. That's what matters. Keep up the good work, guys. By the way, James, you were right. Ships in EVE are all weird and asymmetrical to the point of it being comical. I'm glad I chose
Galente
as my main ship focus. Most of them are at least tolerable, regardless of the occasional phallus design principle.
That's a good ship.
Say what you will about miners, at least our ships look functional and logical. That's for Kevin.
I think it's very interesting. He wrote this to us...
March 27th.
Yeah, days ago. Did anybody else
watch the video?
What video?
Oh, okay. The Future of Eve. Yeah.
No. Put that aside. Did you read this? It was a thing that this was not a video. This was only words.
I didn't watch okay. that. I saw that. What I meant to say.
I encourage everybody, even people who only like stories about it, even don't like to play Eve, to read the. Quentin Smith's article, or interview actually, on Rock Paper Shotgun with the Mitanni, who is the CEO of Goonfleet. He did an interview with him at the FanFest in Iceland. And I don't really want to try to describe it too much, but I think it is exceptionally important that anyone who has any interest in getting their mind around what an MMO can and should be in the now and what is possible for it in the future to read this. It's not what it's about. It's about this guy talking about what he and his people did in EVE. But what you can learn by looking at it is extraordinary, more than you could ever learn by listening to what some developer has to say about the future of it, or listening to what some super fan has to say about it, or frankly, even listening to us. There is gold in this, and there are very, very important things. Not just pro-Eve things. There's a lot of things here that are extremely important for those of us who do think Eve is the greatest thing going at the moment, that because it is absolutely chock full of fail. But, you know, without going into too much detail, I think that Eve succeeds in a lot of the same ways that Tribes succeeded, unintentionally. The parts of it that have become so worthy of headline were not necessarily the parts that they wanted to see in headlines when they launched the game, you know? Much of it is there, and the mechanism is certainly there, but how it came to be what it is was pretty much unintentional. And this dude, you know, for anybody who does not know, is the CEO of the Goonfleet, who came in and essentially redefined what PvP means in this game. And he's now sitting at the top of the CCP-created sort of liaison community organization that essentially represents the entire community of players to the developers and brings their concerns to them and theoretically gets that put into the development pipeline. It is an unbelievably fascinating read on several different levels. And a lot of the things that he said in that email echo through what this guy is talking about. Not directly, but because of the kind of universe Eve is, you're going to see a lot of those possibilities spoken of in different ways from different points of view. And, you know, then hopefully kind of recognize that you'll never really be able to figure out why it works the way it does. And unfortunately, maybe that no other game will be able to just simply sit down and replicate this. CCP might not even be able to do it. That's kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, we've looked at it as a template that maybe other things can copy, but maybe you can't. I don't know that you necessarily can. But, yes, it's exceptional, and it's kind of penetrating and very, very interesting.
Next email comes from Paul, who writes about Dragon Age 2. Hey, IGC crew, hope you're all doing well. I just listened to the Open Bar episode and thought I'd chime in with my thoughts on Dragon Age 2 after hearing your initial impressions of the demo. Firstly, I noticed you guys discussing Hawk's sibling in the prologue and which class they were. They do, in fact, change class depending on your own initial choice, which I thought was pretty cool. As a warrior, I had a mage sister, and a friend playing a mage had a warrior brother. Also, after I customized my Hawk and made him black, I was delighted to see that this change affects his entire family.
See, I wish that was something that I had known straight out.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I wish that they could have done maybe a little bit more with that. I wonder if it changes your uncle.
I don't know. He says this added a really strong layer of immersion to the game for me, and I'd be interested to know if you guys noticed any changes to his or her family after your own character creation. As for the game itself, I'm loving the new combat and conversation system, but still can't help but feel the game was rushed. After seeing the same cave or indoor environment reused for the third or fourth time, it starts to get disappointing. I have no problems with the game being set entirely within Kirkwall and its surrounding lands, but the idea that every mansion and cave follows the same layout is a real killer for me in terms of believability of the world. I just hope for DA3, which I'm sure will eventually be made given the series sales, they spend a little longer designing some variations on locations. Also, the return this item to random stranger quest seems particularly lazy. Given the strength of some of the other quest lines, it's disappointing to find a random item and hand it back to someone you've never met. It happened to me a ton. With no cutscene and no dialogue beyond, you lost this. Thanks. Anyway, criticisms aside, I love the game and still think it's absolutely worth playing. I just finished Act 2 and I'm around 40 hours in. Yeah, slow player, I know. I need all those codex entries. And I'm enjoying seeing the political situation of Kirkwall and the character relations develop. Not sure how far through it you guys are yet, or even who's playing it besides James, so I tried to keep this to general impressions. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts and hopefully spoiler-filled analysis later on down the line. Keep up the great podcasting. I guess we'll never get to the spoiler-filled analysis.
No, we will. I didn't stop playing the game.
Yeah.
I just switched back to the other platform. And after a certain point, I don't care whether you guys have played it or not. Statute of limitations and all that.
Right.
I might understand if you want to cover your ears.
But I'm too busy with New Vegas right now. I'm not going to get Dragon Age 2 anytime soon.
Yeah.
I've noticed that when we do these kind of discussions, that by the time I actually do get the game, I can't remember what the hell we talked about.
Yeah, so it still kind of hits me as a surprise. A couple weeks ago, we talked about New Vegas. I'll be damned if I can remember anything from that.
Right. Where are you, yeah. How are you doing in that, by the way?
I've gotten up to the Novak area. I went down the south and back up.
That's
and
what at, you did.
Yeah, which is, mm-hmm. But see, that was a really, really good thing. Mm-hmm. Direction,
yeah.
Focus, not too much. Plenty of room to deviate a little bit. But I knew more or less where I needed to go. I felt very, very organic.
Yeah.
You know, not too much with the invisible walls. Definitely had an understanding of which way I should move. I think they did a fantastic job with that. I'm going to restart it. Been too long, you know?
Yeah, I'm liking a lot. The only thing I remember was like somebody mentioning like Caesar's Legion. I was thinking these were like, okay, these are like guys who like hang out at like what's left of Caesar's Palace.
I know, yeah.
It's like, no, that's not what it is at all.
No, man.
That's cool.
They're kind of badass.
Yeah.
I'm in the same boat with you. I got to start over myself because the last thing I remember was trying to find Station Foxtrot, I think. Trying to go from the middle of the map to up north.
There was
a mountain range in the way. And I kept running into those, what are they called, Cazadores?
Oh yeah.
I kept running into flotted nests.
Yeah, those
levels.
Things are a pain in the ass.
God.
The last thing I did was I got to the airbase.
Nullis.
Yeah, I was doing a bunch of stuff there.
And, the boomers.
No, not Nellis. The one where the camp is.
Oh, okay.
McClellan?
Yeah.
Whatever, yeah.
Dude, that the place. One where you turn in bounties to?
Yes. I was basically going in and out of there. Like, that's the point at which it becomes a little less guided and a little less narrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm there. And I had a whole bunch of things going on there. But at this point, it's been a minute. Mm-hmm. I'd be perfectly happy starting over, particularly, again, having a new PC. So we'll have to go back to this and have ourselves an endgame discussion about that.
Iron Past sends us a tweet. Thanks for the link. Windows is installing, and I'll be running overnight tests. A success.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
Yay.
Over here to Bakoff fan, he writes in about Assassin's Creed Brotherhood on the PC and some of the DLC. He started to play it. He's got a few issues here. The game needs to rework the camera, much like Gears of War. They go for, or maybe that's God of War. You never know.
I think it might be applicable in both cases.
Yeah, it could be. They go for cinematics over usability, and the constant missing of jumps is getting ridiculous.
Jumping. Definitely got to work.
A behind-the-back actively moving to keep the view behind-the-back needs to happen in Assassin's Creed 3. Number two, I'm unsure if it's the shitty Xbox controller or the game, but constantly and consistently I would attempt to make a jump pointing right where the game had required me to, and Ezio would miss or go off in a different direction. Yeah, that's he
feels,
frustrating.
I do think he feels a little more squirrely than in 2. Enough to get me a little pissed off, not enough to make me slam the controller.
Yeah.
Number three, it would seem that the level design is starting to annoy the living shit out of me from a bad mini-map that doesn't actually list how I can navigate streets and so buildings, not pointing out overpasses and buildings that have chunks out of them, as if an overpass had started but then later been removed. More likely a stone used to be here in some form, former design of the building.
I would kind of agree with that as well. I love the Rome, but I don't think it's quite as tight as what we had in the previous game.
Number four, holy shit, Batman, that's a graphics issue. So the director's edition, I guess, deluxe edition, comes with a suit of armor that you can use, which is only cosmetic. Unfortunately, or fortunately, if Ezio steals the guard's armor, it doesn't appear he has changed, and he appears in normal suit during the mission. Wouldn't matter, but it seems like 3 of the 7 or so sequences ends up with Ezio stealing some armor and playing dress-up. Lots of flickering, V-Sync, and AI are also... are so resource-heavy that it kills frame rate. Man, I need a new GPU. But turning those off and mainly turning off post-processing effects gets rid of the haze and blur bullshit and actually makes the game sharp and enjoyable. I'm still interested in the game, even though most of AC Brotherhood was pretty barren story-wise. The Assassin's Guild was pretty lame, and an overall terribly designed game, the only useful thing being the Christina storyline and the Borgia blonde lady. This is summarized by the Da Vinci DLC, which would have been $10 to get some GPS coordinates, with an achievement called GPS to point it out. Supposedly the location of the next game, and Ezio turning to Da Vinci and saying, "Don't worry, this isn't for us," and kind of smirking. Luckily, it is included in the deluxe edition. Anyways, long enough. Apologies. Thanks, as always, for the podcast. P.S. The game was only 10 to 12 hours, and I did a lot more than I would have normally in order to try and level up my guild and just get enough money. I checked back on AC2 playtime, just over 30 hours, and that is not doing everything. Would have been nice if the ending was so rushed and the game was a couple hours longer. Anyway, fuck the Borgia fucking lame.
I kind of agree.
We'll go back to his letter there. Ironpast writes in, this was before his build, "I just got past the 3D discussion in the Rebecca Black episode and thought I'd throw in my 2 cents since I finally got to see a 3DS in person. First, in case you didn't know, in passive 3D, like in movie theaters, you aren't actually focusing on the screen, but a number of feet in front of it. Since you have your eyes slightly crossed the whole time, but attempting to focus on the image on the screen, this is what causes headaches or eye strain for some people. Yeah. For my part, when I saw Tron, my first 3D film in a long time, and hey, I still don't like it, my eyes got watery and tired. I'm not sure if the same effect is used in shutter glasses, but I imagine so. My main issue with this is that the 3D image presented is not how your eyes work. You're not seeing a 3D image. You're seeing a 2D image on multiple planes. for similar, though less effective, demonstration. Look at those cardboard pop-outs in the lobby of theaters. A true, well-shot image mimics what the eye sees and can draw your eye to what the director wants you to see. But the 3D image eschews all of that for an effect that doesn't work as well. At any rate, got to mess with the 3DS for a little bit, and while the effect is neat, it's not something I'd ever leave on while playing a game. It felt like those magic eye images, and the effect was easy to achieve, but I hardly felt like my eyes were straining a little bit while playing Pilot Wings. The major problem, though, stems from the focus point. Because it crosses your eyes to get that image, anything that I wasn't focused on was blurry, and this was on a screen only a few inches wide. I've never noticed this in theaters, but in that case, the action is usually confined to a specific area, whereas in a game, I need to keep track of the entire screen and HUD elements. That was a major turnoff for me, but that aside, I felt like a very, very solid built system. When they revise the design or knock the price down, I'll look to pick one up. To wrap up with an antidote and non sequitur, when buying $1,000 worth of PC components, don't do it on a Friday afternoon. I had my debit card frozen due to suspicious activity and couldn't get it back till they came back to work Monday morning. I've had this happen to me when I bought my MacBook. Considering I have bills tied to that card and it was the first of the month, it was even more of a pain in the ass.
At least it wasn't PayPal. But yeah, that's happened to me before in the past.
Yeah.
It happens to me sometimes when I go overseas. I get to Korea and I'm like, let me get some Starbucks, and they're like, it's being declined. I'm like, all right, gotta call the card company when they're open because we're on different time schedules. Let them know, no, really, it is me. I'm just, over
in
somewhere
Korea
else.
Korea now.
Yeah.
New update from Iron Pass. Can you guys see the video card in the second to last pick I sent? I'm a bit concerned the sound card is covering half the fan.
Yeah, go back to it. It's a little close. I'm not running anything else though. In my.
That's pretty.
Is that a? Is that a full ATX board?
No, that's a micro.
That's a micro ATX board.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a little close. I wouldn't worry about it. Keep an eye on the temps. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't worry too much about it. If you've got... It looks like he has... I mean, I haven't seen the side. He's got a nice full-size fan. He's got a full, 120-millimeter fan, or a 90. I can't tell which one it is.
It's bigger. Let's see. Full-size.
Well, it still doesn't tell me what size the fan is.
I know. I know that. It's just something we can see better.
But it's... I mean, if the airflow is still okay... then it's okay. You just want to keep an eye on your temps.
Little offshoot from Lee Connish writes in, I love you now, IGC. That Nanite site is the most useful thing I've seen online in ages.
It's brilliant.
You should love us for so much more than just that, though.
But that's enough.
Yeah.
I like spreading the word about that thing.
Let's get to this other email and then I'll get back to that. Tuo writes in about Assassin's Creed again. Hey guys, I recently finished Assassin's Creed and am nearing the end of Assassin's Creed 2 with Brotherhood in the waiting. I was curious if any of you picked up the DLC for AC2. None of us here did, I think, except for Dennis.
Dennis, you did.
Yes.
And if so, if you think it's worth the extra money.
If you haven't completed it yet, I would say definitely get it. It adds a bit to the story, but not a lot.
It's not critical?
It is not critical.
How much is it running now? $10?
I have no idea.
I don't know either. I know that I didn't get it, and I've played through Brotherhood, and I didn't feel like I missed anything. Nothing felt out of place.
I did. There were very distinctly two giant gaps in my memory that felt out of place.
Well, yeah.
And I wanted them filled. And I still feel like going back and getting it done, because I'm... fucking 5 points away from 1,000 points.
What are you missing?
The glider.
Kick a bitch when you're on the glider, because you only get one shot at it in the basic Assassin's Creed campaign.
Yeah,
and you can't do it again because they didn't have a mechanism for you to replay memories. Which I do have to admit, that one feature alone being added to Brotherhood makes up for a lot of the trash they included in that game. As someone who didn't get it, I would tell you that I think it's worth it because I still think about going back and getting it.
He also has the same question for the Brotherhood DLC, including the Da Vinci Disappearance.
And that we can't say.
The only thing I can tell you is Da Vinci Disappearance is the only DLC they released that cost money. All the other stuff were extra maps to the multiplayer that were free downloads for me. So all those other updates and all those other downloads, those are free. So go ahead and get them. None of them add to the single player, though. I don't think. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But if it adds anything, it's nothing like pertinent to the story. Maybe, I don't know. I don't think it added. I'd have to go back and see what it actually added. I know there were other things that it added besides some of the multiplayer stuff, though. But yeah, those were free, so might as well, right?
Yeah.
The Da Vinci Disappearance, it costs money. I'm picking it up just because of what I said earlier in the episode, but, you know, I'll let you know after I play it. To add on to James' thoughts on Assassin's Creed from the Rebecca Black episode, having beaten AC1 only a few weeks ago, I don't think you can deny the repetitious nature of the game. But James is spot on about the intimacy of the assassinations. Through all of your objectives became mundane, and not all of them were even necessary to complete your mission. It was all focused on eliminating your target. And when time finally came to do so, you went to the targeted area, blended in with the rest of the crowd to get closer, then usually waited for an opportune moment to make your attack. You don't get quite the same feeling from AC2. You already know who you're generally going after as a whole, but your mission is set just before you're to do the deed. Then it usually just rush in and literally drop in, chase them down, and make your kill. It's not to say that there is absolutely no anticipation, but AC1 did a better job of invoking it. The moments when you had to bide your time before you made your move gave it the sense of a hunter stalking its prey before making the kill. He's correct, and I love that part about it. AC2 tends to err a little more towards the rush-in, rush-out tactic, making it feel more chaotic and less calculated. Definite spoilers coming up here in case there's anyone who's left who hasn't played it, and these are spoilers for Assassin's Creed 2. I think we're all good here on this.
I believe so.
What Assassin's Creed 2 did do well in some cases was the aftermath of your assassination, particularly right after you kill Francesco de Pazzi, whatever.
Pazzi.
The ensuing cutscene shows him being hung from the top of church in nothing but his underwear as the crowd below stares, mouths agape, and the people on top of the church cheering and celebrating. I thought this was brilliant, as it gave you a feeling for the tensions built up in the game's world, while also tying in Ezio's anger and the vengeance he had exacted on a man who was partly responsible for his family's death. When the Pazzi member on his horse saw this and took off with a look of shock on his face, it personally gave me the "you're next" mentality, which plays into the game much better than the bulk of AC1, in which Altair was simply following orders and only doing so initially to regain status. All in all, the first one did a better job in that intimacy of individual assassinations, whereas the second did a better job of breaking up the monotony in objectives and extras, as well as building the character arcs of your enemy, giving you even more of a reason to go out and eliminate them. My only real issue with 2, I would have loved to have seen Templars guarding some of the treasure chests. I took great joy in eliminating all 60 of those fuckers in
Jesus
the original.
Jesus Christ. Damn. Those were tough fights.
Yeah, they were.
You didn't quite have the tool set that you
One of the worst things in the world was to
run around a corner. Hear some bitch like screaming at you in frog.
Uh-huh.
Like wearing armor. I'm just like, oh my God. And then you had like four guards and a Templar to deal with. Uh-huh.
They didn't show up on the map. They didn't show up on the mini map, did they?
No.
All the other guards do now.
That's a thing, man. Got all 60 of the Templars. That's a deal. Even finding them all.
That's nice because there's nothing to track them with.
Mm-mm. And
like,
some of them
taking some of them down.
And some of them cannot be dealt with alone because they're the ones in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. You would often find like at a camp of a bunch of dudes, so there'd be the Templar, and then like he'd be up on a dais or something. Like
very rarely you could backstab him. It was possible.
Yeah,
but it.
I got a couple in the cities that
way. They sat their backs against the wall and they were watching you the entire time.
They were tough. They were fun fights too.
Yeah.
Is that achievement then?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Taking out.
Not it should be.
Yeah. By the way, I'm hearing the description.
Yeah, they were serious fights.
And you have any interest? You played this? I don't remember.
Not yet. No.
You have interest in doing it?
Maybe a little while.
I mean, we really, to be honest, we haven't spoiled really anything, but yeah.
No, I mean, it's been so long, I probably heard all the stuff about it anyway.
I would be interested to hear what you have to say about it. Mm. Quite a thing, actually. I hope it continues to be so.
Yeah. Doogie2K writes in and says, "Good day, gentlemen. Having recently finished the open bar episode in which you take the piss out of a number of trailers, I'd like to follow a recent email Twitter theme and ask what your particular favorite trailers are. It seems to me very few trailers would even have gameplay, since to marketers it's much easier to sell pretty pictures and trumped up intrigue than shoot a man's number 47. So let's divide it into technical, that is good cinematography, music, editing, writing, whatever, and gameplay, actually showing what the fuck you do." Now, before I go into the rest of them, does anybody have any idea?
I got one.
I read this earlier. It kind of came to my answers pretty easily. Or at least a couple of them.
Yeah, my number one that actually has all of it. It has, you know, good cinematography, writing, music, and shows gameplay and everything would be Grim Fandango.
The trailer?
Yeah.
I don't even remember that trailer.
Wow. I don't remember that either.
It was a really good trailer. It set up the mood for the game, and it felt like a noir movie trailer.
Yeah.
You know, like
I honestly do not remember that. And that's from a time when there was a different philosophy of trailer design.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For video games. My...
Of course, let me be less than shocked that a favorite or anything list includes a LucasArts game.
Includes a LucasArts game, yeah. And it's a brilliant LucasArts game. But is that your... That's
what
you think? I know you said
probably best for like story and cutscenes and a bit of gameplay. Kingdom Hearts, any of the Kingdom Hearts trailers.
Really?
Yeah.
Another set of trailers I have not watched.
I mean, a lot of the ones for each of the games that have come out since 2 is usually about like 6 minutes of just story cutscenes. Back to back to back. They don't tell you shit about the story at all.
I know what James is going to be.
And really?
I know what you're... Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We'll see.
About 3 minutes of gameplay, which...
Well,
you really can't make it out, because most of them have been like very interspersed with like showing off the really cool attacks and not just like the basic run and hit things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really good stuff.
They
do really well in the trailers.
That was an easy thing for me to not pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Was those? I obviously, as you know, in my idiom, can fit any number of millions of words into this category. one of them, devoid of gameplay, but absolutely designed to sell me some stuff that actually never appeared in the gameplay, but nonetheless got the spirit of things in place. Force Unleashed. The first Force Unleashed trailer.
Yeah.
Where he like fucking drags the Star Destroyer down in orbit and crash lands it on Coruscant in front of him. Absolutely the spirit of what that game was supposed to be. And it took something...
Force Unleashed 2, I would say.
Go to hell.
Along with that.
Go to hell. I'm saying we already know everything about it. Yeah. What that was doing was selling you an idea. An idea that was never realized in the game, but was still there when they were making it. How and where that game went off track, I'm not concerned with anymore. But that trailer told you everything you needed to know about the spirit of The Force Unleashed. And it did it without introducing any new concepts to you. Did it without any words. Did it without any gameplay. It took things that everybody with even a significant percentage of nerd in them understood perfectly well. Star Destroyer, check. Know everything about it. You know where you are. You know the setting. You understand the gravity of that character. Star Destroyer's character. And you see what begins to happen to it, and its ending point is at the opposite end of the spectrum of powers represented in Star Wars, the Force. This is pure technology, this is pure will, or whatever you want to say. And never had the two been conflated in such a way in Star Wars. Never, in all of what was done. Even Kyle Katarn never got down with putting the two things together quite
Thank
so
you for
well.
That.
Yeah. I was really doing it, you know, it should have been his dad, whatever. Anyway, point is, It did something nobody had ever done, and it did it elegantly. It was the most brilliant sales pitch I had ever seen for a steaming heap of shit. But I didn't know at the time. It was brilliant, concise, 20 seconds long, absolutely everything the game was supposed to be. And was it. But that, regardless, we're talking about the trailers here. For something that includes gameplay but actually could cover both categories, Mirror's Edge.
Boom! There it was.
Every shot from that first Mirror's Edge trailer was a shot from actual gameplay. But it was beautifully edited. It was something that had a game engine and a set of art where, forget your revisionist memory, everybody. Think back to actually first time seeing that trailer. I mean, I liked it more than a lot of people, but I saw it and I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to play this? What the hell is actually happening here? This can't be quite right. There has to be a lot of weird editing. This can't be gameplay. This can't be real. You know? It looks a little bit too good, a little bit too smooth, and a little bit too interesting. But it was both art and gameplay all in one. I think it's a magnificent way to introduce a trailer. What it means is that they're inherently confident in their tech. They believe in their game, which is basically what he was saying. You don't get a lot of gameplay trailers anymore because they don't believe in their games.
Mm-hmm.
That's shameful. But if you produce that Mirror's Edge trailer where you've been able to do artful editing, have like nice music over it that kind of sets the tone for the whole game, and really show me stuff that's actually gameplay, like, it's good. It's good, good work. Still stands up well for a long time. In a kind of more nostalgic way, from a time that is closer to what you were mentioning, you remember what it used to be like to work in software, etc.?
This was going to be the ones I brought up. I know exactly what you're going to say.
There weren't really trailers. We would get these videos every month.
It was just gameplay videos they'd edited together from upcoming
of various games. Things, because there was no like artistic presentation of it. Mm-hmm. And I remember when we had the video for Half-Life, a couple months out.
Everybody was like, "That's bullshit."
I remember looking at it and I'm like, "This is a bunch of crap. This is trumped up crap. This is too
well produced."
Yeah, it's like there's too this thing. You know, like the thing blows up and a guy comes in and there's this other guy and he's giving this guy chest compressions and stuff's happening.
They're making that up.
Making it up. Total crap. But I just watch it over and over. Every time it would cycle through on the little VCR loop, we'd all just kind of stare at it. No, that's bullshit. See that right there? No. That's how I know it's crap. Because of that thing that's going on right there. Every time, man. It was just wonderful. I used to love those gameplay things. It was just gameplay. It was just here's some stuff, gameplay, with some bullshit, you know. Crap-ass music over it that isn't even from anything, you know. And I would just be a slave to them, whatever they were. I loved them to death. Absolutely loved them to death. That one in particular, because I was so happy to be wrong.
Yes.
Good stuff.
Mine on the cinematics or the technical side would be the very first trailer we got out of one of the E3s that I showed to you was Alan Wake.
Oh yeah,
I mean one where it shows the sped up day and night cycle through
it's
the
like
city.
The cars driving through the woods.
Yeah, the cars driving through the woods, and that was when you first saw the. At the time, they weren't like what they are now, which was actual shadow figures. But at that time, they were just these shadow image-like things, just these vague shadows with just two glowing eyes. They didn't resemble human. But yeah. And I was like, ooh, yes, that. And of course, it was good. Gameplay, I'm looking them up now, is obviously goes to Burnout stuff, but yes.
Also, the Metal Gear Solid trailer.
That's actually not a bad...
I remember that
that's,
one.
That's a good piece
Why am I not remembering that one?
That was 98.
Oh.
No. The first one was E3 97.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time we saw gameplay.
Yeah, no.
And it had changed a little bit by the time we actually saw the game in 98. But the speaking just of trailers, that was just a compilation of a lot of Snake doing stuff. And it was another thing of like,
how are they doing this?
How?
Yeah.
How did I don't? I can't get it in my really tiny head how this is going to work.
Yeah.
I love games like that. I love trailers that look so cool that I can't figure out how it's going to play.
Right.
And especially when they actually turn out to be...
to be quite good.
Right.
Yeah.
What you got?
Well, I was going to mention the Half-Life thing you mentioned, but a more recent thing, well, we just all saw the Hawken trailer.
That's a good way to bring that up.
That gets me hot about it.
Yeah. That's just good.
Yeah.
Like, that's something where it's just like, watch us kill some people. Like, just watch.
Mm-hmm.
No bullshit. No explanation. Just watch.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
That.
Quite good. And if you can just dump 5 minutes of gameplay on me with no pretense or explanation or anything and have me, you know, looking for a spoon and a way to send you my money, you have succeeded in your purpose.
That new Arkham City trailer, I thought was...
It's a good trailer. It's a little bit... See, it's a little bit pandering, though, if you pay attention to what the trailer is. It spends an awful lot of time answering questions, which I guess some people would be perfectly happy with. But it's a really ham-fisted way of letting you know, yes, this character is coming back. Yes, this character is coming back. Yes,
this
rumor is true. And, oh, look, notice how I sort of not so subtly grappled while I was in the middle of the air. It was all that stuff. It was like, this video is made for people who complained in forums. It's okay, because it looks pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
It looks really fucking good. But yes, yeah, that, but not in a... It's a workaday trailer, but a good one. Nothing that I will remember for any significant period of time.
As far as the other end, the more cinematic, artistic bend of trailer, I like the Grand Theft Auto 3 trailer.
That was a really good trailer.
Yeah,
I loved it. I still love it. I love the way it ended because it had the. Had the whatever that piece is on the Opera Channel.
Yes.
Playing. And everything, like all of the cars moving around in slow motion.
Jumping over the hill and the gun shit. Yeah.
It was good choice. Very, very good choice. And that satisfies both. That was gameplay. Another game where you're like, this is how confident we are in our engine.
Yeah.
And yet another game where I looked at it, having played previous Grand Theft Autos of the 2D variety,
mm-hmm.
being like, how can this be like this? It can't be like this. There's got to be some bullshit here. And it was little to no bullshit to be found.
I'm particularly enjoying the... let's get to the rest of his email.
RJ?
No, RJ.
I was thinking about trying to think of a cinematic thing that impressed me, but I couldn't think of any off the top of my head. But in terms of gameplay... I remember watching all the Bayonetta trailers and seeing all the flash and action and all that stuff and seeing all the types of things you can do in kind of like a Devil May Cry sense, since it's the same guy that made it. But, it piqued my interest seeing all the different combinations of how you can string moves together and get all types of customized combos and whatnot going through.
It's worth pointing out that, you know, the statistic that came to light, I guess, last year, maybe the year before, of how much worse a game is likely to do if they release a playable demo to it, or at best how little good it'll do them. In a lot of respects, I'm sure that's what a gameplay trailer is going to do. We want to hide as much of the gameplay because we're not terribly proud of it. But that's another example of, like, look how proud we are of what we've done. We will gladly show you endless strings of this, of the very hard work we've put into it. And if it works good on guys like you, they know what the hell they're doing, because you're exactly the audience.
That it? All right, my turn. This is more of Doogie2K's email. Now, I've been thinking about this for a while, and I'm having a really hard time coming up with a truly great gameplay trailer, though maybe it's from not really watching trailers in general. I do like the new Saints Row trailer. Got that marked. I haven't watched it yet. Which consists of 1 second of in-game junk punching, simply for being brutally honest. And the Portal 2 trailers explaining the goos last year were fun, so let's nominate those. For technical, There are many more. I expect this is where the bulk of the discussion will occur, and I'll present two opposing nominees. The first is the Gears 1 Mad World trailer. It did a nice job of capturing the bleakness of Marcus Fenix's existence while simultaneously serving as a total juxtaposition with the more Michael Bay-esque dude bro tone of the game itself. The other, under the category of sheer cleverness and comedy, are the Civ Anonymous No More Turns trailers for Civ 4 and 5. So funny. Goddamn Montezuma. Power mad little old lady Edna totally sells it. Thanks, as always, for the show.
It's a good question. It's a good, follow-on.
I never got into the whole Gears of War, especially, you know, I saw the Mad World trailer, and I was like, eh. The one that, you know, I enjoyed more about that was the joking one that Bad Company had, when the dude, you know, when the guys in Battlefield Bad Company were singing, you know, Mad World, kind of joking on that.
Well, in all fairness, though, they wouldn't have been joking on it without the original.
Yeah.
Because what it did was it set a trend.
Yeah.
People realized you could market a video game through that same juxtapose, you know? And it kind of defines cinematic trailers now.
And I like the whole Portal 2 videos that they've been releasing for the Aperture Science Tech. And they're continuing to.
I haven't watched any of them.
Yeah, well, now they got J.K. Simmons doing, you know, the voice of Cave Johnson. So now he's like, you know, he's, you know, doing
that.
Yeah,
that's okay. You know my feelings on that. I like him, but you know my feelings on that. Okay, now it's great because we got him. No, man, it was fucking
it was
great
before.
When it was people nobody had ever heard of, too.
Yeah.
So I get touchy about that. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm more saying, what the fuck do I need to know about Portal 2? Its title?
Yep.
You know, you had me at Portal 2. So I've just kind of... And I don't...
You're sold.
I don't avoid trailers. Yeah. I just haven't had any... Like, I don't need to see it for some reason. It's Portal fucking 2. How about you just give me the game?
Some of those trailers I've seen, I'm watching it, I'm like, how the heck am I going to pull off some of these moves that they're doing in it? I mean, because they're... Yeah, I'm getting some crazy like jumps.
Is it all the robots?
There's some with the robots, but a lot of it, you know, they'll introduce like a tech.
Are you talking about the most recent ones that they've been doing?
They've been doing like the tech ones for like.
Well, they did
like
the tech ones to intro the gameplay, that sort of thing. But these 30-second ones are Valve's own little TV spots that they, you know, they dumped their advertising agency. They weren't going to go with them. They were just going to make their own shit. And that's what they've been doing. And it's been little...
See, like, all this stuff seems to be the little robots.
But...
This 30-second stuff has all been with the little robots. They've used the little robots to explain how gameplay works.
Yeah, okay, like, with the newer tech, like, with the platforms. I guess they did use the robots in that one also.
All right, but here's my point.
Yeah.
Passively, sitting back, not seeking out anything about Portal 2, I am still not assaulted by, but very much within line of sight of Portal 2 advertising. And it is all little Laurel and Hardy robots. Not that I have a problem with that, but I'm telling you, if the basic continuation of what Portal 1 was is anywhere in the advertisements or in the videos that are kind of being moved in front of me, I have not seen it. It is all these...
Co-op multiplayer.
Those little robots,
grill cracking motherfuckers.
Regardless of where they put them in, those little robots represent co-op.
Yeah,
that's exactly what they represent.
Yeah,
but that's what I find kind of strange is that
they're on the cover of the box.
Yes, they're on all the TV advertisements. They are what's being used to advertise them on Steam's own page. And again, I got no hate on for the robots, but that is co-op, and that is not the only thing I want to do. Portal was brilliant and a half without co-op.
Mm-hmm.
And of all the people in the world, I trust Valve to make modifications to their own game. However, it is Portal 2. I would very much like to feel confident that I'm going to pick up ish where I left off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know that Chell is in the second one. I mean, I know that intellectually, but it's almost like can't diss them for how they're treating their own game. I mean, they are Valve, and they are very trustworthy, but it's like...
You just want to know the two stands for more than two players?
Yes. Yes. I know we're largely responsible for being among the voices who have demanded
co-op
and, you know,
be careful what you wish for and all that, because it's fucking everywhere and it's eaten the entire world. But at the same time, a lot of the revelation that happened between the player and the experience, a lot of what made that relationship what it was because no one else was there. It was because that moment, I mean, can you even remember where it is? It was a little bit indistinct. But there was a moment where you understood exactly how much, like, by the collar, that game had you. How much the narrative had you. And the game is an experience. And how much as a character you had been moved around. It was so subtle, and it was delicious.
For me, when I really noticed it was when they started having the panels that are open, and you see behind the walls.
Yeah, I mean, no, but that's the obvious stuff. That's when your eyes had it.
That's when I'm like, oh, there's more to this than just, yeah.
Well, you are that kind of guy. What I'm saying is there was something much more subtle, something like this really, I don't know, man, this buttery, brilliant undertone to the whole thing where you just sort of, something switched on inside of you, and it was.
You put 40 hours into a game, and you just really can't explain why you did that sort of thing.
Yeah, sort of. Only it was six, you know.
Well, yeah, I understand.
One minute you're doing jumping puzzles, the next minute you've been enlightened, and there is no like, it wasn't necessarily an aha moment. It wasn't like walking into that bitch's office in System Shock 2.
Yeah, you know?
It was a little more so. Yes, the doors open, and somebody wrote about cake on the wall. And all of a sudden the jokes are getting funnier and funnier, but that was a little different. And it was all so brilliantly just between me and the game. And during co-op, I'm going to be laughing like an asshole over my headset, and we're going to be doing funny stuff. And it's a lot of times the wrong place to put a narrative. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we're talking to each other, fourth wall broken, and all this other stuff. So I just, like he said, wanted a little bit of assurance that some of what was there in the first game will be there for me in the second.
That's been the focus, man. It's that two-player
co-op. And everywhere
I look,
it's Laurel and Hardy.
The only time it hasn't been a focus are at E3 when they show you the single player. Right. I tell you that, there's a good little example. All the videos you find on the internet that Valve has released as far as the sites show and stuff like that have all been the two little robot guys explaining how the gameplay works. Everything you've seen from Tokyo Game Show and PAX. Big stuff like that, PAX, whatever else, has all been single player. They haven't released anything from the multiplayer, with I think exception of one commentary video that a guy does where he talks about how you play as two people. That's it. Everything else, it's been all single player. They released the 10 minutes of footage. They released these little bitty footages of the beginning set when you meet the fuck is that little robot's name?
Wheatley.
Yes, Wheatley. So
I see what you almost did there.
Yes. Wetley?
That's not what you almost did.
Wilson?
Sort of.
Yes. That ball. So yeah.
You almost called him like Will Wheatley. I could assuage my own fears if I went looking. And I'm not scared to look. I never am. I devour spoilery video stuff. I just haven't.
There's actually these little 30-second ones they've released. No spoilers whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm sure they're
none.
They're better than that. It's fine. I was just kind of trying to make a point about another thing entirely, I guess.
Our last email of the evening comes from Lee Keen, who says, "Hey guys, great show. Just wondering if you think that Kinect and Move have already had their day and will be quickly forgotten. I have Xbox Live friends who have Kinect, and I can't remember the last time I saw one of them playing a Kinect game. Also, apart from launch, can't remember a Kinect game being released. At least with the Wii, there was a steady drip of crap minigame compilations for people to buy. With the Kinect and Move, there's been nothing for 6 months. I know that Kinect has sold well, but without software support, both could go the same way as the Genesis Menacer light gun. Yes, I bought that." I'd be interested to hear your thoughts, especially if any of you either have either Move or a Kinect, or have friends that do. Look forward to the next show. Think you're out of luck.
None of us do,
and we know one guy that has it, or at least
I
know
some folks have Kinect. I don't know if anybody has Move.
It hasn't really occurred to me to think about it, because I honestly can't remember, you know, I'm a god this game for either one of those. I haven't. I mean, maybe none of us are just, maybe none of us care to look, but maybe he's right. Maybe nothing has
The only thing that got me just very minusculely interested in the move was the special edition of Dead Space 2.
With the
extraction.
Yeah, right. That's
other
fine.
Than that, you know.
And that seems like a bit of a footnote. The fact that I guess you could play Killzone with it, again, another footnote, not something designed for it explicitly. Yeah, I don't know. Very forgettable, more than I thought it would be.
None of the software seems to have been shoved down our throats. I get the advertising for the hardware itself, more so on Kinect side of things. The Move really hasn't been shoved down our throats. The hardware itself in
advertising. Hasn't even been offered to my throat.
Yeah.
Really. Chilly.
Kinect.
Do you know what's fun, though? What? Do you know where I hear about the Kinect?
Hackers.
Ars.
Modified.
Yeah.
Ars Technica, Slashdot, Boing Boing. Mm-hmm. All of these places where maker-hacker communities are finding interesting things.
Oh, my gosh. Guess what we just did with this Kinect.
Nobody's making any games for the
It's almost become a commonly this weekend Kinect hacks, you know, basically, is what you're seeing. This guy did this, this guy did this.
It's a far more interesting thing for people to deal with than actually play a game with.
And not necessarily a hack, but did you see the 3DS stuff that Japan had done?
Nope.
Those little AR cards that come with it.
The what? Come with what? What are they?
They're little AR cards.
What's an AR card?
Augmented reality.
Yeah, augmented reality cards.
What does that mean?
You put it down on the table, you look at it through the DS.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah. And it shows an image.
That's cute.
Okay.
They realized that if you scale those cards, it scales the image. So a team in Japan, this is where they would do this, went and made this huge fucking AR card and went out to where one of these, I'd have to look it up, it's a statue of one of their old Japan cartoons that it features a robot. And I can't
was it one of the Gundam statues?
Yeah, probably.
No, it wasn't Gundam. It wasn't Gundam. It, really? Think more childish.
Voltron?
No.
Voltron.
I'm trying to remember the fuck. It's
Big O.
Giant Robo.
Gigantor.
Gigantor. Gigantor. There's a statue of Gigantor, and they went and they printed this shit out and they taped it down and did all this stuff and got to the right height, and one of their fucking Miis was as tall as that goddamn statue. Like 27 feet. I mean, it was huge.
It's pretty cool.
So, yeah. Anyway.
It's a hack.
Yeah.
It's doing something, making it do something it wasn't necessarily designed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting.
No, that's cool. I hadn't seen that at all.
We were talking about, you know, the Kinect and the Move a little bit before we started recording, and I think what you said made perfect sense. The people that play it and the people that have have kids.
Yeah, a lot of them do have kids. I know a few people who do, and they'll want to talk to me because they know that I talk about this stuff. And then they'll say Kinect, and I'll be like, oh, and I'll make a face, you know.
And then they say,
like,
my kids.
Oh, but like, no. Then they go, oh, but like this, and I'm like, whatever. No, the fidelity's terrible. You know, there's no positive input. I would understand the gesture-based stuff in the dashboard, but I have to sit there and hold, like, stand still like a mannequin to register a button, press it. It's not, no, I'm not sold it. Then they'll say something else and I will rebut, and eventually it's like, oh, well, my kid can just flail around like a moron and it's great. I'm like, well, that's cool, because all kids are morons. I mean, they are, I don't know, and whatever, they're still developing, they're still learning to be humans, and they don't care about fidelity or positive input. Mm-hmm. If the thing on the screen dances around and flails back and forth like they do, great, you know, and I'm like, well, I can't really argue with that. I'm sure that's actually a barrel of fucking monkeys for a little kid, you know.
And I do have one friend who doesn't have kids at all, who does have Kinect, but the only thing that she uses it for is exercise. That's it, not for gameplay at all.
Right.
And that's it. I mean, the only Kinect game I can think of, which isn't even out and won't be out for a while, is Twisted Pixels.
Gunslinger.
Yeah. The only game I've seen for that.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a shame. There'll be a Twisted Pixel game that I'm not going to get.
Yeah.
You'll get it. Yes, you will. She will. Well, I don't know. Has anybody bothered, you know, looking for the inevitable used hardware bin Kinect?
That's a good point. I have not.
Not yet.
Because that was the big discussion like 8 months ago.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just wait. It'll be like $6.50 and then being around somewhere. You know, that obviously isn't true, but it might be in the bin for some amount of money. I don't know. It's almost like nobody cares. Seriously, we all cared. I mean, we all had a lot of trumped up nonsense to say about both of them going into the season. But then it was like, eh. People cared less than I thought they would. So it just seems like even for Microsoft, though, in particular, they really wanted to cover one particular angle with that. And they're not even... The thing that I find most interesting is if he's right, and it's not just our perceptions, there's nothing... They're not leveraging these new systems into which they dumped tremendous amounts of development money and advertising money.
The only thing I've really seen them still advertising for the Kinect is that dance move.
Is the dance thing. That's mm-hmm. the only thing I see. And every time it kind of pisses me off because...
Well, it's the people.
It's only people. All you're showing me is people. Yeah. You're not showing me...
Over the shoulder, maybe a little bit of, you know...
There's like 3 seconds of it very far away. And I get sort of pointlessly angry that anybody would look at that and think it's good because they're just... And it's just actors. Just people dancing. And it's not even normal people who can suddenly dance real good. It's dancers. So... You're right, though. That one is out there, but that's not a new release. That was there. That was already there, right?
Yeah, that was a launch.
That was a launch title.
So. But that's the only one they're still marketing and still
fascinating, actually.
I saw it on TV just the other night.
No, you're right. It is there all the time, actually. I've learned to ignore it, but it is there. I don't know. Maybe they matter less than... And my thing was I was afraid they would begin to dominate... the picture.
Right.
You know, we were all kind of doomsaying about that.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly we were overstating things, but by a greater degree than it's necessary. I don't know. It's a good thought.
Well, I wouldn't mind seeing, like, would be like for a hack where they use the, where they could use the Kinect, for the track VR when you're playing, like, Ace Combat, like the new one.
That actually is being used that way in some of the racing games.
Okay.
Where you can turn your head to look ahead on a turn, stuff like that.
I think Forza 4 was going to use some of that. Yeah.
See, something like that would be more akin to a good way of doing it.
No, that's not bad.
I don't want to steer with my hands. Yeah.
But no, that's using it as a track, IR, or track, whatever. Yeah, it is IR.
Yeah, it is.
Remember, I got you. Good stuff. So yeah, it's okay, but just not doing anything. How we doing? Is that it?
Anything else from
Iron Pest?
No, nothing from him.
That's good. That means that
he's busy.
If it was catastrophe, I'm sure he'd have said something.
Oh yeah.
It means he's probably busy setting up a mem test or something. I didn't do that at all, by the way. I just don't even do that anymore. That's maybe an old school way of handling stuff. A good thing to do your first time around, just to. You know, best practices and all that stuff, but whatever. I plugged it in, it booted fine.
Yay.
Speaking of which, I hate the way my machine posts. It's got the happiest little post in the world, but it's like, beep, 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 beep. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? I don't know. I haven't even looked it up. Maybe something is wrong. But everything is perfectly fine, and I haven't done a lot of rooting around in the EFI, but... Like, it's got just this chirpy, wonderful little, Song of the South bird flying around, chirping post kind of thing. I don't know, that's all I can picture.
That's sort of like, of all things, Song of the South has to come in.
I don't know. I just feel like I'm walking into my room. I hit the power button. I'm walking along, and it's like some chirpy little thing. And I'm like,
suddenly he's in Toontown.
Yeah, it's weird. But it's consistent. It's the same thing all the time. Maybe it's like a user experience thing. Maybe it's deliberate, and I'm just supposed to feel really good about stuff. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? Who cares? Kind of happy. Really cheerful little post, but I'm supposed to hear beep beep, and then you stop for a second.
All right.
Okay, all right, everything's cool. It's very strange. Whatever. No more bios. Post is all weird.
Speaking of trailers,
living in the future. What?
Infamous 2 that we watched.
Yeah, God. What a bunch of not inspiring shit that was. I'm not turned off. Except for, A, why am I hanging out with Zeke?
But yeah, we had that discussion of, like, are they just going to drop?
It's a hand wave. I feel like, looking at that, I feel like the ending of the first game is just going to be hand wave. Like, okay, now over here. Because you're hanging out with Zeke. Zeke's pretending to be the kind of guy that just deals with shit that comes his way. Forgetting the fact that he tried to take over the world and fuck you to death in order to get what he wanted. He is clearly, and you're telling me he's the kind of guy that doesn't grab the reins of life? Fuck you. Infamous, play your own game.
Infamous 2 will start with Patrick Dempsey in the shower. Yeah, oh, it's just a dream.
Yeah. And then the whole thing of like,
Patrick Duffy.
Yeah.
Oh, Duffy.
TV's Patrick Duffy.
That's.
Yeah, we think that by now. Yeah, and then the whole thing is like, I'm gonna go get a new power. Hey, did you find a new power?
I did.
I think I got a new power.
Well, let me see your new power.
What the fuck is this shit? And I still don't know, like, what with the fucking tuning fork on my back.
Yeah, the tuning fork.
It's all weird, and it's like,
how does electricity give him control of ice and fire?
I just, I'm not happy with it. And
they found the Captain Planet rings? I don't know.
Maybe.
There's a little bit of that going on, because it's like he's controlling elements and stuff. Yeah. It's very strange. And
I'm not making any judgments about how. No, I'll play it before you do that.
Zeke has the Ring of Heart.
Because the whole thing is like, well, this is a new game, so the feeling is like all your old powers, those are old. I mean, those were from before. You gotta have more, you know. Well, I don't need them because they look like you're just trying to make them different. Mm-hmm. In the first game, they really were kind of fun. I mean, I never exactly got tired of just running around going.
Yep. And seeing how fast I could get going on a slide wire.
Yeah. And the 50,000.
How much air can I get coming off the
felt
top?
Felt pretty much as good as the first.
when you're like maxed out like evil and you start to throw the grenade better. And like it blew up and all the other grenades blew up.
It was really good. And so if they're abandoning all this just for the sake of
here's new.
A new power set, and you're gonna are you gonna fuck all my powers out of me? Is that it? Yeah, are we going to do this? Are we going to go down this tired-ass path of starting the sequel? You are starting out in a good place. Your stock is already high. And unfortunately, you really have nowhere to go but down, in my opinion.
Sort of like the whole Kyle Katarn forgot the Force.
Yeah. And I'm being a bit negative, but come on. I mean, yeah. Anybody who's been listening for a minute knows how we felt about that game. We really liked it. And I'm not sure they're respecting what we liked about the first game. So, whatever. Like, anyone among us will not be playing it.
Yeah.
Who has a PS3? Sorry. Yeah. So, it's going to have the same, like, weird wonkiness.
She got a DS for a
3DS. Am I still going to feel kind of sticky when I walk on a wall? Mm-hmm. You know?
You get a PS3.
$50 more.
Don't want a PS3.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
I don't know, man.
Well, hey, while we've been talking about shit, I came across some other...
speaking of shit.
I came across some other stuff GameStop's done besides buy Impulse. Have you seen any of it?
They bought somebody else, didn't they?
Spawn Labs.
Spawn Labs, that's what
it's That's right, yeah.
Yeah, into the whole game streaming shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about offering, like, well, their quote is, immediate access to a wide selection of high-definition video games on demand on any internet-enabled device, which sounds a lot like OnLive, right?
Yeah, sounds like it's coming out of their ass, too.
Yeah, I mean, so buying Impulse, buying, like, some streaming thing, it sounds like they just want to double
It sounds like take advantage
anything,
of the uninformed.
Anything digital, because they know digital's what's going to come along and eat their
yes.
lunch.
Yes.
Yeah. They also launched a fucking Facebook store, okay? Their president went out and said, hey, we want to work with our partners and OEMs to put together a gaming tablet, because gaming tablets are like the next big explosion in video games. Gosh. And if we can't get them to put together the gun whether we like, we'll just make one ourselves. So seriously, GameStop thinks they're going to get into making tablets to play games, getting into hardware?
You guys have had the best seats in the industry for what other decision makers have done wrong.
Yeah.
What other publishing people have done wrong. Mm-hmm. And how quickly some of them have taken the opportunity when it presents itself to get the fuck out of the hardware market.
Yes.
Sega.
Yes.
Nokia.
Yeah.
Jesus, GameStop backed Sega like there's no fucking tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We know this quite well.
Yeah.
Then there was no fucking tomorrow.
Threatened with dismissal on many occasions for not selling the Dreamcast hard enough. And they should understand, whatever. Every criticism of them need go no further than the fact that they can't see past their own goddamn nose. They can't. They understand just enough. They have a sense that DD is going to eat them.
Yeah. So it looks like they're just lashing out and trying to gobble anything that might help them. Tablets, online PC distribution.
Well, they're net wide enough,
They're lashing every piece of flotsam and jetsam they can find to their raft in the hopes that it'll keep them afloat in the future. The problem is
they don't know how to use it. Yeah.
No, they don't know how to use it. Yeah, maybe it's thinking that they're going to...
It's like handing a caveman an iPad.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it doesn't, and in the end, what we will have done is, I mean, I don't know what all they're going to try to do, but the chances are that all we've really done is lost Impulse, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's curious, but I love watching them flail.
Yeah,
because when in the time that I was there, I had countless arguments with all of the other people who worked there, that their store full of plastic discs was rubbish and pointless and had no future. And they couldn't understand.
What are you talking about?
Whatever, dude. How much longer do you think you're going to be a district manager in this company if you can't see that? How long do you think it's going to be before this decision starts happening around you? I will be right, and you will probably not, but I want you to remember me and this conversation that we had, that what we're doing right now has no future. It's limited. It's not wrong, but there are too many people opposed to it. And the universe is simply moving in another way. But, I mean, it's cool. Like, it'll be interesting / popcorn. So, what else? We got anything else? I don't think we do. That's a lot of material. Look at the number.
Yeah.
Wait, right?
I think so. I mean,
anything you guys planning on playing?
I'm still in a very bad place. I just built a new PC. Every PC game I've ever owned
needs to be loaded up.
Needs to be loaded up and replayed.
We're gonna try and get some Borderlands in.
Yeah, you need to download that shit. That's how you got it going.
Man, that'll be so.
I know. See what I'm saying? You build yourself a PC. Because, like, now Ramsey's in, and there we go. Critical mass of people necessary to play something.
Are we going to try to do each one of us does a different character?
No, fuck that. Yes, okay. You get to play Brick.
No, God, no.
Fuck you. No, it's already been decided.
Fuck no.
Sorry. Too bad. It's been... What about been decided? Don't you understand?
I think it should be four bricks.
You get to have...
Four bricks?
You get to fist everything. Isn't that what he does?
Seems terribly appropriate. Yeah,
I don't really care because I know what he's going to be.
Yep,
I know what he's going to be. He's going to be the boobs.
Yeah.
You're probably going to be sniper.
Was that a sniper last time when we played?
I can't remember.
I haven't played with you guys, but I play a sniper.
Kevin played with us.
Yeah,
but he didn't play.
I thought Kevin was a soldier because he shooting everyone with the rocket.
And I think I went sniper because of that. Yeah.
I remember you guys bitching about the healing rockets.
The problem was
once really wasn't a bitch. That was actually
fun. Once he got the idea in his head, he couldn't. He became a healer. See, here's the thing. He doesn't really do MMOs, but he became a fucking healer.
He does healing.
Because that was his thing. And he bitched like every healer I've ever known or been. You know? Because, like...
Well, what is it a bitch about?
Do what?
What is it a bitch about? Because healing is what I do on PS3.
Okay, no, dude. You have to understand that, like, the healer is always... There are different personality archetypes that fit the healer. The healer has a really, really difficult job if you've been designed or designated as the guy who's going to keep people alive, right? Mm. You have no glory. It's impossible. You try to stick glory to a healer, and it just sort of drips off and lays there around their feet, and nobody can really see it. People who know what they're doing respect a healer, but the healer has always been kind of a thankless job because he's not in charge of, like, you know, I'm a charge in my lasers, you know, and he's also not like raw, angry, smash, bang, berserker tank thing, you know? And this is a thing in, like, MMOs. Like, when you look at the tank DPS healer kind of archetype things, DPS guys are, like, whatever. It's 18 or 7 or however many dudes walking around, like, wagging their dicks in each other's faces because of the size of their DPS numbers. Or, well, yeah, but that's your DPS, and here's your damage done, and it's totally fine. How many interrupts did you do? And, yeah, you know, whatever. It's fine. And tanks are all like, whatever, you know, bossy assholes and stuff like that. And healers are just sitting there, like, trying to do their thing. And, but inevitably get told how to do their thing better. Always. Even though they know how to do their thing better than anybody else. And with Kevin, we were like, okay, fine, you be the healer because I wanted to be support soldier. It's like, oh, you be healer soldier. I want to be the more interesting thing. And so I was, you know, he was doing his thing, and that's when we came up with the idea of if he could shoot rockets to heal. Well, like, why don't you just shoot rockets and do damage to everybody?
You're shooting everybody. You're shooting little bullets at us to heal us individually.
Why don't you just nuke the AoE heal? So he started doing it, and he was like, guys, this is working great. And then it sucked because we couldn't see anything. It was explosion. And so we're all like, God damn it, stop. You're fucking it up. I can't kill stuff. And then he's like, well, fuck you. You want me to fucking heal or what the fuck?
There'd be moments where we're trying to take down a guy and you'd be down on health and I would have to stay away from him because if he were to shoot in, we would be blown back. We couldn't see anything. So it's like, okay, heal him now. I'm standing over here. You know, do you have a sight? So we just kind of, we'd have to plan strategically to be away from whoever was about to get healed.
Right. Even though the whole point of the rocket healing was AoE healing.
Right. Yes.
But we talked him into it, and he decided that was his method for doing it. And then realized that we needed to do what?
Did he use the Scorpio turret?
Yeah. No. We did. It was just us kind of figuring out our way to sort of do everything. It was just funny because that's how it works a lot of times, man. And, like, the healer's your healer, but still somehow it's like,
you're doing it wrong.
Look, you need to do what you're doing, and you're a healer, and you're great, but could you do it better? Everything you're doing is perfect, but could you do it like this? And, you know, you're healing. You're not putting up big damage numbers. You're not, you know, whatever. It's a thing. There's been a lot of examination about what it means psychologically to be a healer. I couldn't fucking tell you. I've done all three in multiplayer games. So never been angrier than I was when I was a healer, though. So.
So, yeah, that's it. I haven't been playing anything as far as...
Well, why would you go just load your Borderlands? Maybe
so, yeah, I'll be doing the Borderlands. Just inevitable waiting for the week to go by until we get our Mortal Kombat and we get our Portal 2.
Yeah. I picked up Yakuza 3 on the cheap at, you know, GameStop. So I'm going to give that a try.
Man, I haven't been into a GameStop in a while.
Then I would go.
God, when was
that? Just, you know,
forever since I was in
one. I don't remember the last time I was in
one. I was walking by one, you know. There you go.
Last time I was in one was probably when you were working at one.
Next thing I know, I was in the GameStop.
Yeah, okay. I was going to have to finish that for you. You were walking by one, and there you go.
Next.
Actually, I was on my way over. It was Chase.
When you go out of your way to drive to GameStop, I guess you kind of are walking by it. There
no,
you go.
No, I was at East Chase, and I was actually going to the Smoothie King. And so I parked and walked by. And
The GameStop at East Chase isn't on the way to anything. Unless you were going from Baby Gap.
No.
It's a corner lot. How are you?
You weren't on the way to anything.
Because it would have been
further away
building.
From anything because it's on not the corner.
No, it's not just right there.
No, is it?
Here's that's in the same.
You don't go by. You were coming out of Baby Gap. Yeah. Or like what? I don't know. Limited 2 or whatever the hell else.
Well, it was his penis's birthday.
And on that bombshell. See you next week-ish.
He's going to snap and kill us all one day.
I don't know. I hope not.
Me too.
Us.
Yeah, Hog's like, what y'all fuckers talking about?
You're the healer.